Well, Ian Lee then and John Holmes to welcome you. I'm for in sitting. Hello and me show today. Sorry, someone's just been in and jumbled up all these words. Hang on a minute. Try that again. Hello then and welcome you to today's show. I'm John Holmes, sitting in for 08709... Oh, God. You put that number there. Doesn't even go there. Hang on a sec. Hello then, hello then and welcome you to today's show. I'm John Lee, sitting... Hold on a sec. I'm John Holmes, sitting in for Ian Lee. There we go, that's better. Thank you. Then it's Tuesday, the thing of doofer. And this, of course, is LBC 97. Thrice 100 of frequency modulations bursting out of a transmitter per second. As usual, then, the phone lines attached to this building have now been thrown open wider than Paris Hilton. And your calls on 08709090973 will be put straight through to us here on the wireless. As you know, LBC is an equal opportunities radio station, so we'll speak to anyone, black, white, rich, poor, normal or clearly mental. We don't care. 08709090973 to speak. You can also text us this afternoon on a phone, the number of which is 84850, or you can email holmes@lbc.co.uk. You can also send pigeons carrying messages this afternoon. They can be attached to their legs. LBC do now have, as from this morning, a brand new pigeon stroke message landing site on the roof of the studio building. You simply write your message, fix it to your pigeon, aim your pigeon at LBC, and when it flies overhead, what happens is that Caroline Faraday will shoot it down with a BB gun. Hello then, and welcome to Tuesday afternoon. I'm John Holmes, in for Ian Lee, and this is LBC 97.3.
London's LBC 97.3. John Holmes.
Yes, right, I expect you're wondering then just what's coming up in today's equivalent of an extended congestion charge. Well, I can promise, or rather threaten, that we will be playing another few levels of Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade. Not for the PC or the Xbox, though, but for the radio. Today's prizes, I can tell you that today's prizes for that do include some state-of-the-art. I have got some state-of-the-art to give away. 08709090973 to register to play that, but details, of course, coming up later. Today's text and email-only quiz is 7 mystery songs. I will launch that and give you the details in a while, but it's 7 mystery songs. If you want to play, though, 84850 or holmes@lbc.co.uk. It's a text and email-only competition, that one. You can make use of that information that I gave you there by using a phone or a computer, respectively, for the text and the email thing. I am John Holmes in for Ian Lee, by the way, and for those of you wondering where Ian is this week, I'm afraid what's happened is he's been put back into the wild by some Ian Lee rights protesters who at the weekend got past LBC security, cut the chains on Ian's cage and let him go. It's foolish, really, because, you know, I mean, they just don't think this sort of thing through, these people, but Ian has been bred in captivity, and simply, now they've let him go, he will not be able to fend for himself. I mean, he's probably already been hit by a car or a tramp or perhaps eaten by rats. But anyway, he's not here. I am. Anyway, I can tell you that all the telephone lines into the studio have been personally oiled up this afternoon by Chris and are raring to go. So call one now, 0870 9090973, to taste of their meaty goodness. And while I'm, you know, happy to indulge in any and all of the weird thoughts that the tiny electrical connections are making in your synapses right now, you can voice them on that number, let us turn our attention to the forthcoming death sentence of a brutal dictator. Saddam Hussein, of course, sentenced to execution by hanging and being found guilty of genocidal crimes against humanity, and executing those who would voice their opposition of his brutal regime. His punishment, then, to be hung by the neck until dead, his evil body dancing on the end of a rope. But this afternoon, what's the worst punishment you've ever received? I mean, I am not suggesting that perhaps you've, you know, been the undemocratic head of a country, or, you know, that you've personally ever gassed any Kurds. But my question to you this afternoon is this. What is the worst punishment you've ever received, and why did you receive it, and did it work? Were you at school, for instance, when they still used the cane? Have you ever had the cane? I've never had the cane. I want to speak to somebody who's had the cane. I want to know how much that hurts. Was detention effective when you were at school? Is it still effective now? I don't know. I haven't been in detention for a while, although if you do misbehave here at LBC, they do keep you back on Saturday mornings. Paul Ross, for instance, is naughty all the time. Has to do every Saturday morning. So, detention. Have you ever had it? Does it still work? Is it effective? How do they punish people at school now? It's been up to a year since I was at school, so I don't know what they do now. Do they still give you the cane? Do they put you in detention? I don't know. What's the worst punishment you've ever had? Can policemen still clip you round the ear? That, you know, in some people's day, that was a deterrent. You were cheeky, rude in the street, didn't get an ASBO, got a clip round the ear from a policeman. I don't remember, to be honest, when they did that myself. I'm still fairly young. Obviously, I grew up with the knowledge that if you stepped out of line or were foreign, then the police would just shoot you. But what's the worst punishment you've ever received? What was it for? Did it work? 0870 90 90 9. Hello?
Hello, John.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. How are you? All right?
I'm fine, thank you. It's good to speak to you again. We've spoken before, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, John. Yeah, last week on Friday. Yeah, the worst punishment I ever had was that... I'll go back to the policeman thing in a minute.
Yeah.
I quite like men in uniforms. But the worst punishment I ever had was... I was at school and I was talking. I've got to not mention any names here.
What do you mean? There's not even names in that? I was talking, I won't mention any names. There's no names in that story. If you'd have said someone touched me inappropriately, I won't mention any names, then fair enough. But you said...
Guess what I got? I got the slipper for talking. And it hasn't worked, has it, really?
Not really, Jonathan, no, to be fair. The slipper, though, was that held up in your school as a punishment? You'll get the slipper as a big punishment deterrent, was it?
It hurt. Yeah, it did hurt. I was careful how I spoke again in that class, put it that way.
Which class was it?
It was history. I was talking in history.
What, do you remember the subject? What you were bored with?
I was bored with the subject. The teacher was talking, and he was talking about history, which was really boring.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a friend about what we were going to do that night, which was really interesting.
Of course.
Much more interesting.
Yeah, and you were caught out. Your friend got away with it?
He did. He got away with it because it was my fault because I'd instigated. Now, I also put up mags. I didn't want him to get spanked as well.
Oh, you see that? That's owning up, that is.
And, see, the thing is, though, I quite like Miles Franklin, though, so maybe that...
Maybe that's what did it, Jonathan.
Exactly.
Maybe that's what... When you got the slipper at school, where did they hit you with it?
On the bum.
Actually on the bum, is that true?
Yeah, I had to bend over it. I was just so... Honestly, it's so funny.
No wonder you're weird now.
I had to bend over a box, didn't I? A box of
A box of what?
You know, the box that you jump over, what they call it, the you know, in when they escaped out of Colditz in that horse, what was it called?
A horse.
Yeah.
They escaped from Colditz on a horse. I thought it was on a motorbike with Steve McQueen.
It was a wooden horse, of all things. However they got on with that, I do not know. And he bends over, and you get three, and the first one really, really hurt, the second one stung, and by the time it got to the third one, I was a bit numb.
Yeah, I think it had just ruptured all of the pain sensors. In your bottom.
In my bottom, it did. And as for the police thing, being clipped across the ear, I used to have a policeman that used to handcuff me, but he was a friend anyway.
See, again, that's something that's come back to get you in later life, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely.
So certainly, for a start, you were beaten on the bum with a slipper, bending over a box. And then, when you were a kid, a policeman used to handcuff you, and now we wonder why you're, you know, like you are.
The way I am, exactly.
You see, it has a psychological effect, Jonathan, though, doesn't it, you see?
It does.
All punishment has a psychological effect. I imagine, for instance, in years to come, if Saddam Hussein is hung, then in years to come, you know, he's going to quite get off on that sort of, you know, choking stuff
that you
hear about.
He could get into it later on in life.
Yeah, exactly.
In
tell me about the slipper, Jonathan. I want to know, was it a slipper that belonged to a member of staff?
Just plimsoll.
A plimsoll, like a gym shoe, if you will.
Yeah, with a really hard rubber sole. You know the hard rubber soled plimsoles, but old black ones.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Slip-on ones.
So, did it come off someone's foot, or did they keep it in a special case, like a break this for emergencies?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was kept in a state. It was a big ritual. This, you had to stand outside the gymnasium, wait for him to come at lunchtime, so you had an appointed time.
So they gave you that psychological pain of having to look ahead.
You have to go down the gym. He said, I'll see you in the gym at 12:30.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, you're worried right up till 12:30. It wasn't a very nice experience.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I left school.
But it was later on.
Yeah, and I didn't dislike the teacher. I have to say, even to this day, I still like that teacher. He was a good teacher. And I was talking, I don't think I deserve a slipper. He's probably frustrated.
Yeah,
you know?
probably just fancied you. Anyway, so we now need to bend over and slap the bottom of the travel. Oh, yeah. With Alan Joyce.
Thanks for that.
There.
Right.
Alan Joyce, everyone. Thanks. Alan Joyce, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Landor Road in Clapham is closed.
Text coming in on 84850 regarding this punishment theme. I was to be shot by firing squad, but the American soldiers fired as a punishment. American soldiers aimed, fired and shot. Well, they killed each other because they're stupid. And that's a text that's come in from Osama bin Laden. I'm thinking, perhaps, that's just come in, we could probably trace that number. And that would probably help. Bit stupid of you, Osama, to text in there. I've seen spooks as well, and I know that if you're using a phone, they can triangulate your position. So you may have made a mistake putting your name on it. John, I had the cane for buying fags with my dinner money and then signing for a dinner. Don't really know what that means. Is that where you had to sign and say you'd had a dinner? Do they still do that? Does that still happen? Would Jamie Oliver approve of that? Probably, only if the paper you had to sign was made of pancetta and vegetables and not chips and crisps. Do you have to still sign for dinner? I don't know. Well, in fact, if you do, what am I saying? I don't know. You can probably tell me. 08709973. Joe, it hurt like hell when I had the cane, but I always went back for more. It's Greg on the M1. John, will you ride with me on a cheese horse that has shiny hoofs to China? It's a slightly odd text from Tony. And this is a good one. Is this bloke meant to be funny? Get him off the radio. Where's Ian? When's he back? Help me. 08709090973. I want to know this afternoon, what punishment, have you ever received? What was it for? Did it work? This is in the light of Saddam Hussein, of course, being punished for genocide. And being hung. I'm not suggesting in any way at all that you have done a similar thing to him. I'm sort of talking about at school and whether you could ever be still clipped round the ear by policemen, or these days do they just shoot you 6 times in the head instead? Hello.
Hi there.
Hello there. Who are you?
My name is Chowdhury.
Hello, Chowdhury. Good. Nice to speak to you.
Hi there.
It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah. I just want to say that, you know, I think that this corporal punishment thing is really beneficial, you see, because we've had a lot of this in the old school that I used to go to.
Yes.
And we were taught by Victorian value teachers that were, you know, they were ex-army officers as well as, you know, strict disciplinarians.
Yes.
And walking around with these bizarre black capes. And with these graduation type of hats.
Yeah, the mortarboard.
Exactly. And, you know, during, I recall during my geography class, you know, talking out of turn, and that just resulted me in getting 12 lashings.
Lashings?
Yeah, and that's what it felt like.
Not of ginger beer.
No, bending over and, right, you know, there you go, 12.
What did they bend you over? Because they bent Jonathan
in the headmaster, over the headmaster.
You bent over the headmaster?
Over the headmaster's desk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely, you know, I mean, this is something that was a deterrent that damn well worked. And, you know, nobody wanted to cross his path. And, you know, he was just looking out for excuses just to get the, probably, I don't know what his attitude, he probably did have an attitude problem.
Yeah.
Probably there was a big influx of Asians in the school. Probably that was the case. I don't know, but...
What, you're saying you didn't like that?
Absolutely. I'm pretty much...
When are we talking... When, Chowdhury, what sort of time of... When are we talking? 70s?
70s.
Right.
70s.
Did you notice then that perhaps more... if there was an influx of Asian people into schools, and in the 70s, obviously, that was kind of a new thing, I suppose, was that... Did you think that that was a racist act then? Is that what you think that was going...
No, I don't think so. I think it just put everybody, you know, gave them the deterrent... And it put everybody on the straight and narrow, and put everyone, and absolutely nearly everybody who I'm in touch with at school, nearly everybody,
yeah,
are doing brilliantly. And remember this guy, remember this headmaster, remember this geography teacher, the metalwork teacher,
yeah,
the woodwork teacher, and praise them and thank them.
So you're saying it works?
Yeah, absolutely it works. And even on that, that's during school times. I remember I used to drive my dad's car,
yeah,
and I used to take it down the straight roads. And park it down there, and we always used to get this regular police officer coming down and coming up to us, and he says, "Oh, it's not you again," you know. Then they come out, and then they start, you know, and literally, not a clip round the ear or something different, but a whacker in the back of the head
from a policeman.
You know? From a policeman.
Now you see, there'll be all sorts of lawsuits.
Yeah, and now what he would say, and the other good thing about this policeman, he'd whack you, right? And then you'd feel a little bit good on the toilet.
You work with the police, do you? What do you do?
Yeah, the community in the community, you listen to police and you hear what they have to say for themselves. And you have their bizarre ideas how they wish to police the community, and they, you know, they have their own agenda, and they want to consult with the. They want to consult with the community, but really, they don't really want to consult with the community. They want to just flush it down your gob that we're going to do this whether you like it or not. And they just like to have nice old religious leaders nodding their heads and, you know, just basically nodding to their calls.
Nodding.
And they don't like people like me, you know, who speak their mind and speak, you know, a little bit of sense.
Yeah.
But like I said, I mean, unfortunately, we're losing our values, we're losing our ethics, and we're...
Is that because we're not allowed to hit kids at school anymore, though, Chowdhury? Is that why? Do you think it's a deterrent? You think it worked for you and your friends?
No, it would not work at all. Absolutely will not work at all. I would be dead against it at this moment in time, because why, look, I'm nearly 40 years old now.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I should not be, if I was a teacher... I've endured that, and it's worked for me. But I wouldn't pass that on to another kid, you see. And I don't think it's...
What would you do then, Chad? Would you give him an ASBO in the face?
I would shock tactics.
Shock? Electric shock?
No, shock tactics.
You could, what if you got you know those things you get cattle with?
Yeah.
What about them?
Jabbing them into children at school.
No,
I'll tell you what happened. My nephew bunked school today, he did, okay.
Did he?
I mean, well, yeah, supposedly. Now, you know what I said to him?
Cattle prod him.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what I said to him. I said, tell you what you're going to be doing. You're going to be ending up, right? You're going to be ending up as, you know, a labourer, you know, bottom of the pile, while all the other communities...
A bit harsh, child, isn't it, if you're a labourer listening?
No, I mean labourer, meaning, you know, labourer.
Because no one would shovel that at 3:30 in the afternoon on the radio, would they? Apparently we've got to get... Is he gone now? Just gone, yeah. Sweary man. That's what happens. You're a sweary man. Anyway, John, I got fired. What does it say? I got fired from a squad. Okay, John, I played with matches when I was 10 and burnt down my gran's shed. And Dad passed my hands about 6 inches above a flame. When I did that, and believe me, I'm 36 and I haven't touched matches since or bought them. I don't even have them in the house. Did the trick, never played with them since. And that's from Dan. And he says, my dad was right to do that. I love him. Actually, Dan, to be fair, that's grounds for taking him to court for abuse. Dan, if your dad actually physically burnt your hands with matches... I'm not sure. That's a very good idea. 0870 90 90 973, if you wish to call us. We're talking about punishment. Have you ever received any? What was it for? And did it work in the sort of light of Saddam Hussein receiving the, some say, minor punishment of being hung for genocide. Does the punishment fit the crime in this case? I'm not suggesting you've done the same. I'm not suggesting you've gassed anyone. Or even hidden in a hole and been pulled out of it by the American military. I'm not suggesting that. But maybe you've been punished in your time at school, or can you still get clipped round the ear by a policeman? That is my question to you this afternoon. 0870 9090 973. It's Tuesday, and I'm John Holmes. I'm sitting in this chair for Mr. Ian Lee.
Jeff wants a pool table.
Joe wants an office.
We want a playroom.
Oh, but we can't afford to move to a bigger place.
So we might as well do something with our empty garage.
Grow your home. Don't spend more money on a new one. Click GarageConversionExperts.com today. Order your garage conversion today and get £500 of John Lewis vouchers so you can add those extra touches to your new room. Call 0845 056 4322 now. GarageConversionExperts.com. Make more room.
Good. So 0870 9090 973 to call us this afternoon. Just about punishment, really, because, you know, Saddam is going to be hung by the neck until dead. And if he survives that, will that be a deterrent? Is punishment a deterrent? If Saddam happens to survive being hung, you know, will he go out but not gas anyone else or shoot anyone or you know, try and destroy a race and a religious creed of people? Will he stop doing that on the grounds that the punishment, the hanging, worked if he were to survive? Punishment. Have you ever received any? What was it for? And did it work at school or even being clipped round the ear by a policeman? 0870 90 90 973. This is LBC 97.3. So then, while I'm not suggesting for a moment you're as evil as Saddam Hussein, he is due to be punished by the neck very soon, it does seem, unless, of course, his appeal works. It's not going to happen. So, the question this afternoon is punishment. Have you ever had or received any form of punishment? Maybe it was while you're at school, maybe it was later on when you were banged up the slammer by the police. Did it work? How, in fact, do they punish at school now? Was detention ever effective? Do they still use the cane anywhere? Did you have the cane? I want to talk to someone if you've had the cane, because I want to know how much it hurts. I never did, because I was a good child. You can probably tell that from what I do now. So, if you stepped out of line then, what is the worst punishment you've ever received? That's what I want to know. Did it work as well? Did it work? That's the question. What did you do to... So far, I've had talking in class. I wouldn't say that was a major crime, but that's what seems to have happened to a lot of people. 0870 9090 973. You can email as well, Holmes, which is H-O-L-M-E-S, for those of you who are failing to spell that correctly, and I understand there's a lot of you who are ringing up to ask how to spell it. H-O-L-M-E-S, it's like, you know, Sherlock Holmes at LBC. Don't put Sherlock Holmes, obviously that's not going to get in here, is it? Because, not to this show, no, because Sherlock Holmes, as you know, does Saturday lunchtimes. Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, at lbc.co.uk. Ken, hello.
Hello there. Good afternoon to you.
And a good afternoon to you as well, sir.
Yes, I went to school in the 40s.
The
40s.
Oh, right. I thought perhaps, you know, you'd have to go back for some reason.
When caning was still on the curriculum for punishment.
Yes, righto.
And I got caned, and I got slippered on the bum.
Yep.
And this was basically for questioning a teacher.
Not for
doing anything wrong, or being naughty. My father was a professional pianist, and he wanted me to learn to play the piano, which the school would then, in those days, teach you.
Right.
And they insisted that I was taught a totally different instrument. In this case, it was a flute.
That, of course, as we all know, is the exact opposite of a piano as well.
Exactly.
So that's even more annoying. If they'd have said, you know, learn the violin, at least that's within the... But the flute and the piano are exact opposites.
Exactly. Now, what I did, in fact, I actually broke it over my knee. I was about 10.
Well, thank God, Ken, that it wasn't the other way around and that your dad was a flautist and they made you learn the piano. Because then, if you'd tried to break that over your knee...
Yeah.
We might be having a very different conversation, Ken.
And for that, I got caned six times.
That's what happened to Heather Mills. Sorry, what?
Pardon?
What, nothing? What?
I got caned six times for that.
For
questioning the teacher, not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
For not disobeying him, even.
Did you just question why you were having to learn a flute?
Yeah, I said, I don't want to learn this instrument, I want to learn the piano.
Yes.
And I object to what you've just suggested that you intend to do to me, which is to send me to the headmaster's study.
Yeah.
You then got the cane and the book, and you brought it back to your classroom.
What's the book?
Well, your name was put in it.
That's not a great punishment, that, is it? That's
your
a
name
rubbish.
Was put in it.
I mean, I could put... To be honest, Ken...
Yeah, that you'd been caned, actually.
I'll tell you what, Ken... Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, you, when you were cane, your name was put in the book.
Just getting a pen, because I'm going to prove that that's not a good punishment. I'm going to put your name, I'm going to write Ken in my book. Right?
Well done.
How are you spelling it?
K-E-N.
Right. Ken. See, Ken, I've put your name in my book. Rubbish punishment, yeah, that, isn't it? Yeah, you're probably not suffering at all.
Well, are you? You're not going to cane me as well.
I'm not going to do that, no.
No.
No, I'm not, because I kind of disagree with it. So, but your name, Ken... is now in my book.
Yes.
Did the cane or the slipper hurt most?
Well, the slipper, if you had time to do it, you could put an exercise book in your trousers.
Yeah, I used to read about that in the Beano.
Well, I did it, actually, and it's not so bad then, but you've got to be quick.
But surely, if you're being bent over a headmaster's you're going to... And you put a book down the back of your trousers...
No, not a book, an exercise book.
Exercise book. He's going to see that, isn't he?
No, because they are bendable. They're about a quarter of an inch thick, and they're thin pages.
Right.
And you could hide it. It didn't show, because when you bent, it bent with you.
Oh, okay, good. Good.
You know?
Yeah.
And I had one of those, and the third time,
yeah.
the teacher in this particular school had a habit of boxing your ears. Now, I don't know if you ever...
Boxing your ears?
You know what that means?
Well, is it like out of the film Seven when Kevin Spacey puts Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box? Is that what they is that
no,
what
no,
it, when you
no,
cut someone's ears
no.
off, box
no,
them?
No, if you were doing something which he thought wrong, you would come up behind you and get his two hands,
yeah,
and bring them together with your head in the centre,
open palmed or fist?
No, open palmed.
Ooh, yeah.
And I mentioned this to my father, who would never ever hit me. He was a very tolerant man, and I grew up to obey him in some ways, I suppose, and respect him. And I never got hit as a child. And he went round to the school, and he did exactly the same to the teacher.
Oh, that's very good. Now, that's...
Exactly. In the playground, he said, who's your teacher? Who did that? And I said, that man there.
That's brilliant.
And he went up behind him, and he did exactly the same.
Do you think you could get away with that now?
No, you couldn't.
No, you could not. That'd be assault in both cases. But I tell you what, that's a brilliant idea. If anyone has ever had anyone get revenge on a teacher in the same way, because wouldn't it be good if your teacher did something to you? You know, now it'd probably be just detention or lines. But yet your parents just went round and said, right, I'm not letting you out of this room, teacher.
Yeah,
for an hour after school and just sat there with them. Now, that'd be good.
If I may say, I think the cane would do a lot now for the little Herberts that go to school now, because I don't live far from a school.
What if they're not called Herbert?
Well, call them what you like. Okay. Well, that was an expression in my youth.
Yeah, the Herbert.
Every little kid was called that young Herbert next door.
I've heard
even if his name was George.
He's still an Herbert.
He was an Herbert.
And you think we should bring it back?
I do, because some of the children have got absolutely no respect whatsoever. And another thing, the teachers, it's very difficult now to tell the teachers from the kids, because they're a scruffy.
Yeah.
I don't find teachers much of a role model to children.
Righto.
That's how I see it.
Just because what? They're dressed similar to the kids?
Well, they dress worse than some of the kids. And it's the period we live in, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, I can remember my teacher, my headmaster, Mr. Jones, had a suit and a waistcoat and a tie and a flower in his buttonhole.
A flower?
Yeah, the teachers often used to come and, you know, they'd get a flower and put it in their buttonhole.
Was it a real flower or one of those jokes?
Oh, no, it was a real one. They pick
squirts.
It up and say it, yeah. And the teachers, they look smart. And the children respected them of the time.
Ken, this is a suggestion then. I like your thinking, and I like the idea that a teacher should look smart with a waistcoat and a suit and a flower. But what about this for a punishment? We're not allowed to use a cane anymore. How about this?
You're not allowed to do anything.
You're not allowed to do anything,
you
but
can't
how about
even
this?
Keep them in after school.
No. This is a surreptitious trick, though. How about they come to school in waistcoat and a flower with the flower, but instead of squirting, it's a trick flower, but instead of squirting water, battery acid, Ken.
There's a very well known school, isn't there, in Westminster?
Battery acid.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, if you see the children that go of a morning at school, they got their shirts hanging out, their laces undone, they got filthy shoes, unpressed trousers and a tie, which they've no idea how to tie.
Ken, that's not a school, that's a House of Commons you're talking about.
No, I know about the House of Commons.
Yeah, that's that. That's what you're...
And these children
you've
look
mixed it
terrible,
up.
Considering yeah. their parents have got probably pots of money, because it's quite a lot of money per term.
Yep.
But they send them to school like that.
Yep.
And if I went to school like that as a kid, I've actually been reprimanded because I dirty shoes.
You know, I once got told off at school, and this is true, I got told off at school because a rule came in about you had to wear grey socks, right? And yeah. a bit of a fashion thing when I was at school, which would probably give you a clue as to when that was now.
Well, just grey socks.
Obviously not just grey socks, Ken, that's weird. Although there was a history teacher called Mr. Fox who would probably have been very keen on that, but I'll go and tell you that story later. But anyway, no, you were not just grey socks, that's stupid. But grey socks under your regulation uniform, right? And the fashion at the time was to wear, and I know this is embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you anyway, white toweling socks. That was the thing you had to wear, because it was cool, apparently, when I was at school, which might give you a clue to when it was. But, so everyone used to do that, of course, but, you know, and you get away with it walking around the corridors, but the moment you sat down and crossed your legs in assembly or something, when you're a child, the white socks show. So at one point, and what one of the deputy head things used to have this box of old socks, and if you were caught wearing white socks, you'd have to go to her office and have to change your socks by putting on a pair of dirty socks that were in this box. But once, everyone was doing it, and they ran out of socks. So, for a day, because they were so annoyed, and how stupid is this, Ken? They were so annoyed that we were wearing white socks and they'd run out of other socks to make us wear. They made us take our socks and shoes off and spend the day in school in our bare feet, Ken. As a punishment. Now, surely that's more scruffy than just some shoes with white socks. But because that was the rule, that's what they did.
Can I say one last thing before you terminate my conversation?
No, go on then.
I was quite tall as a child, and when I was a sort of 14...
I wasn't.
I was about 12.
Yeah.
I was about 5'8".
Yes.
I landed up 6'3".
Righto.
And you had to go to school with these grey, short trousers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And my mother realised that I didn't look too good in short trousers at 5'8". So they bought me long grey trousers. With turn-ups.
Yeah.
And I was sent home. Because I wasn't wearing short grey trousers and looking an absolute wally.
Yeah. Now, Ken, they turn up at school with what?
Well, you can go where you like, really, can't you?
You can now, if you go to school, and you can absolutely get away with this, and I know this because the kids near the school where I live, they don't even bother wearing trousers. They have them tattooed on.
Oh, I don't know about that. What sort of school is that?
They're
approved?
They're allowed... It is approved, yes. It's, to be honest, Ken, it's special. They have, they're allowed piercings. You know, they turn up to school with piercings, tattoos, don't they?
They do.
And they don't even wear trousers anymore, Ken, the kids. They just tattoo trousers onto their skin, so it looks from a distance like wearing trousers, but really they're not. And it's you know, there's no discipline anymore, Ken, as far as I'm
concerned. I totally support teachers that send children home if they're wearing something which is not part of the school uniform. Like, you know, for the girls wear long earrings and whatever, and then the mothers keep them away and then complain to the council.
Yeah.
I think if the school's got a code, you keep to it.
Keep to the code. It's like any code, isn't it? Like the firework code? It's like the Green Cross code, Ken. If you don't adhere to that, look what happens. The Da Vinci code. Look what happens if you don't follow that.
Yeah, you get run over.
By Jesus' descendants.
I must say we go back to the Victorian era, but there was something good about the discipline that I had at school.
Yeah, well, Ken, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
And you,
sir. No, more you. Ken, who was punished at school, had his ears boxed, cut off, severed off. By an angry teacher who'd unscrewed the blade from a pencil sharpener, cut his ears off and boxed them, and then his dad went round to the school, did exactly the same to the teacher. Punishment, we're talking. How were you punished? Did it work? What did you do to take that punishment? 0870 9090 973. This is LBC 97.3. And, of course, here's Alan Joyce with the punishing travel.
Yeah, a bit of a punishment. John Holmes.
Hello. And so, let us dance like a monkey boy towards today's email and text quiz. This is going to be a mystery song, but it's slightly different today because we're going to play you a clip of seven songs. Seven songs. And it sounds like this. Right, what's that? Here are the rules. This is what you got to do. All you have to do is identify all seven of those songs. That's seven songs played together in that clip there. Okay, let's hear it again. All you have to do is identify all seven. Then what you do is you take the first letter of each of the titles of those seven songs. Then you transpose those letters through 180 degrees. You've then got a number. You multiply that by the title of the second song in there, and that will give you the name of a well-known celebrity. All we want to know is the celebrity's name. 84850, if you think you can work that out. It's all we need to know this afternoon. 84850. Let's hear it again. Okay, that's seven songs played over each other. You've got to identify them all, take the first letter of each, transpose those letters through 180 degrees, multiply that number that you end up with by the title of the second song in here, and that will give you the name of a very well-known celebrity. What's the celebrity's name? Text us 84850. You'll want to know about the prize, of course, for that this afternoon, and it's a very, very special prize for the email and text competition today. The winner of today's mystery quiz will win. It's quite good on this. Will win a luxury diving holiday on LBC's Gary King. Yes, we'll fly you and a partner to Gary King, where you'll spend 2 weeks diving on what experts call the best LBC presenter to dive on in the world. All accommodation is included. You're allowed to eat whatever you find on him during your dive. Equipment is provided, including snorkels and spear guns, and after some training, you'll be able to go right down on him to see the amazing tranquility of his reef. You'll see mantas, angelfish, sharks, leftover quiz questions, and more. No stingrays, though. Since the Steve Irwin incident, he's had them all culled. So, to win this amazing luxury diving holiday for two on LBC's Gary King, all you have to do is identify the mystery celebrity from these seven songs. Let's hear it again. And there it is. 84850. What an excellent prize, and someone should win that today. Meanwhile,
telephones.
Hello.
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 Hello. Jonah Lomu just signed my ball.
What?
I met Jonah Lomu.
When?
Just now, in Twickenham.
Did you?
He's a big fella.
Who are you, by the way?
I'm Seb.
Hello. Nice to meet
Hello.
You. Yeah. Whereabouts was he in Twickenham, then?
He was in the Twickenham rugby ground.
Oh, right, so you didn't really spot him out and about, then?
No, he was sitting at a table.
Well, where you'd expect him to be.
Well, I don't know, really. I went in there, I thought he might be standing up. Well, I got my picture taken with him.
Did you? Why were you there?
I wanted him to sign my ball. My mate Milton, he got both his balls signed.
Did he?
Yeah.
I got two, so I can give one for Christmas to my family friend.
By Jonah Lomu?
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, he's a big fella, he is.
Is he? Can he sign both at once?
No, he took one at a time because they were big size five.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You can't expect him, you know, he could grab one with one hand, though.
Yeah.
It's absolutely awful, really, you know, but... Oh, I met him!
They were doing the signings, we went down, it was all prearranged.
Oh, it was prearranged. I thought, you see, from what you said, I thought, you know, it's like you were like a Living Heat magazine and you'd sort of gone spotted.
No.
Jonah Lomu, buying a Subway...
No, nothing
...baguette.
Like that.
I thought, but no, what...
You wouldn't be in Twickenham.
No, well, no, but I mean, now it's, you know...
The Subway.
Exactly, yeah.
Down by the river, Jonah Lomu, killing a duck.
Jonah Lomu, killing... That's just cruelty, that is.
Spot-kicking a swan through the goals.
That's the one. Yes.
Taking a... what else lives in a river? Fish. Taking a fish from the river in Twickenham and... scoring a try with its face on the grass.
Well, the thing is, he did play...
That's what I want to see in Heat magazine, Seb. Not spotted Jonah Lomu where I expect him to be doing a signing anyway, we just went along.
No, I did see him once put a sheep over the H-bar.
Put a sheep over an H-bar?
Yes, he went, meh!
Right.
It was awful, really.
Well, it was. That's quite a...
Cardiff Blues.
It's quite a cruel thing. Cruel thing to do, isn't it?
Well, you know, if the RSPCA aren't watching, no home, no foul.
Are you a rugby fan, Seb, or did you just take advantage of a celebrity?
Oh, no, Jonah Lomu is the ultimate. Love rugby.
He's the ultimate?
He is, he's a legend.
Ross Kemp's the ultimate.
How dare you?
Ross Kemp, because he's in a show called Ultimate Force.
No, but he's such an awful actor.
Yeah, he's appalling. You're absolutely right.
Hang on, I can do an impression of him.
Oh, please do.
This is him happy.
Tom.
This is him sad. And this is him crying.
Now do him shooting as part of his SAS Ultimate Force crew.
Okay, are you ready?
Do him shooting a terrorist in the face.
Okay.
Go on. Very, very good.
Thank you. I've been working on that for years.
Bang on, Seb, I'd say. Are you not with Jonah Lomu now?
No.
That's a shame. I was hoping we could, you know, get him on the phone.
Well, I was going to ask him if I could take him home, but, you know, he's got to go back to New Zealand, apparently.
When are they flying back?
There were not many people in the queue to get stuff signed, so we thought we could take him, like, down for a cocktail or...
Yeah. Or a story about anything else.
Well, you know, I mean, I did offer, but he said, you know, I did say that you were the legendary John Holmes.
I am, yeah, thanks for that. Yeah. And he just wasn't having any of it.
Well, he said he liked your films.
Yeah, I'm sure he does as well, I know. He often writes to me for them.
Yes, well, you are a living legend.
I am.
Yes.
Actually, to be fair, a dead legend.
Oh. How are you, by the way?
Well, I'm all right, yeah. Are you well, though?
I'm not too bad, not too bad. I'm a bit flustered, really.
What, just because of seeing Jonah Lomu?
We saw him, yeah! Oh.
I'm sorry.
It's a bit overwhelming, really.
I'm glad you're excited by it, though.
Yeah.
Where are you going now?
Going home.
Okay, go there quickly. Goodbye.
Bye.
LBC 97.3. Mentals. Meet Careful Ken. Holmes. What they said. Hello, I am John Holmes, sitting in for Ian Lee. 08709090973. We are talking punishment this afternoon. What sort of punishments have you ever had? Did it work? What did you do for it? And things. John, I get whatever punishment that my mistress deems is appropriate. That's from Slave Steve on the text, 84850. John, Rhys Saddam's execution, who's got the TV rights? Is it pay-per-view? That's from Paul in Romford. No, Paul, it's not pay-per-view. Channel 4 have bid and successfully got the rights. Saddam's execution, as I think I mentioned yesterday, will be hosted by Vernon Kay and June Sarpong, with live extra coverage of the hanging on E4, presented by Nikki out of Big Brother. And that, I don't know the exact date, but I'm sure if you keep listening to LBC, I'm sure we'll bring that to you, in due course. John, I got 200 lines from Mrs. McKenzie for cooking up my smack in the boys' toilets during morning break. And that's a text that's come in there from Zamo from Grange Hill. 200 lines. Zamo would presumably not be a punishment, but a bonus in that situation. You got it wrong, John. If you don't follow the Da Vinci Code, you will get run over by Christ on a bike. It's good. Also, answers are coming in for the mystery song competition. Let's just hear the clip. We want to know what the celebrity is related to that. Let's hear it again. All you have to do is, there are seven songs in there, there are seven songs played on top of each other. All you have to do is identify all seven, take the first letter of each, transpose those letters through 180 degrees, multiply that by the title of the second song, and that will give you the name of a well-known celebrity. What's the celebrity's name? John, is it Ozzy Osbourne? That's from Gavin the Trucker. No, it isn't. Let's have another listen. You're quite close, Gavin. What you've done, you've transposed it through 160 degrees to get that. You need to add another 20 degrees to get the right name. So you take the first letter of each of those songs in there, transpose it through 180 degrees, multiply the title of second song. That will give you the name of a celebrity. Great prize. It's a luxury diving holiday on LBC's Gary King. That's the prize this afternoon. In the next hour, though, I want to sort of get onto this thing that this has happened to me before, and I know it happened to Chris. Was it yesterday, Chris, that this happened to you?
Last night.
So while you explain it, because I know it happened to you.
Oh, well, I met a friend's colleague for the first time last night.
Yeah.
And so I went, it was a lady, a very nice lady.
Yeah.
I went to shake her hand.
Yeah.
And she went in for the kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
Things got a little bit awkward.
It is awkward.
Kind of clashed.
Yeah.
And, ended up backing off completely.
See, I completely agree. And it's embarrassing, isn't it? It's a terrible,
very awkward,
terrible social faux pas. So, what are the... ladies, really, what are the rules? You know when you meet someone for the first time and they will come in for a kiss, but you're going to shake their hand and it's always an awkward social moment. We men really don't know what to do about that. So, what do women actually expect? Has this ever happened to you? And how do you get out of it without looking like a complete idiot? So kissing on cheeks, what's the rules in a social situation with either someone you've just met, someone in a showbiz circle, or someone that you know very well? What are the rules? 0870 90 90973. LBC 97.3. On FM. John, when I was at school, I got slapped for getting a sum right in my head and not working it out on the blackboard. I now, because of that, have no confidence in maths. That's from Maggie in High Wycombe. So because we're talking punishment, that's a bit of an unfair one, Maggie. You know, to be honest, you got it right, but you didn't show you're working on the blackboard margin. That's not fair. Shouldn't be slapped in the head for it. So were you punished at school? Were you hit at school? Were you slippered? What hurts more, slipper or the cane? I've never had the cane. Have you had the cane? Tell me if you've had the cane. I don't know how much it hurts exactly. I did avoid having the cane, actually, though, once, because, or the slipper or whatever it was at the time. But I don't know that it actually existed. But it was like a rumour at school that we thought the cane and the slipper was, you could still have it. And I don't really know anyone who did have it, but I think it was just hanging over as like a threat. I think it was outlawed by the time I was at school. But anyway, it was a really bad thing to do. But a group of friends and me, we got and it was around bonfire night time. So it's only this time of year when I was at school. And and I'm not condoning this or saying it's a clever thing to do. Very foolish, and I regret it now. But we fired a rocket at Mr. Sanderson, the deputy head teacher, across the playground, out of a milk bottle. It exploded into a mobile classroom behind him. He was less than impressed with that. I ran away really fast when I realised what was going to happen, and everyone else went and got punished. They said they got the slipper. I don't know that they did. I think they were just trying to make me, you know, they were trying to look cool. It was like an Asbo of its day. If you got the slipper, you were the cool one. Now it's an Asbo, you're the cool one. But how were you punished? What did you do to take a punishment? What did you do? Did it work? Things like that. Also, kissing. Chris, last night, met a friend's colleague for the worst time. The worst time? Probably was. The first time. And he went to shake her hand, as you do when you go and you meet someone new. And she leant forward to do a social kiss. But then it was all a bit awkward. And he told me this earlier, and I've done the same thing. And it's weird in not just a social situation, but in a work situation. You know, in this industry, it's sort of ridiculously traditional to kiss someone you don't even know. If you meet them in a showbiz, well, you meet an actress or someone off the telly, and they'll try and kiss your cheek. But if you don't know the rules, then you go to shake their hand because that's polite. Is it polite to shake hands, or do women want to be kissed on the cheek by strangers because that's it's a very continental European thing to do. I don't know. Please, if you're a lady, what are the rules? What do you want us to do? Do you want us to give you a social kiss on the cheek? I'm assuming you don't want us to go full in on tongues or anything, unless you, you know, take an instant fancy to us, or fill you up or something. I'm assuming you don't want that in a social situation. That would be plain wrong. But what are the rules? We do not understand. I don't know the rules. Chris doesn't know the rules. If you can let us know. 0870 90 90 973 is the number. Lots of answers coming in, by the way, on the text for the mystery quiz. John, is it Paris Hilton? Is that the celebrity? No, it's not. John, I think it might be Madonna. Well, let's have a quick listen. That is seven songs played together. All you have to do is identify all seven from this. Take the first letter of each song. Transpose those letters through 180 degrees, not 160, like earlier. 180 degrees. Multiply that by the title of the second song. That will give you the name of a well-known celebrity. What's the celebrity's name? John, is it Tess Daly? No, it isn't. Sorry, Andrew in Shoreditch. You haven't transposed it enough again. That's about 130 degrees. So I'm really sorry you didn't get that right. Is it Annie Sprinkle? No, it's not. It's not that. Is it Ian Lee? Who, incidentally, also says, a person who's texted that, said, please come back, Ian. You are forgiven. What does this say? The only punishment I've experienced is you on this radio station. What planet are you on? And then there's five question marks. You are really boring me now, and probably the rest of London as well. Get a life. Stop trying to be funny. It's not working. I think you should look for employment elsewhere, like maybe a funeral parlour, as your humour, spelt wrong, is non-existent. Or on the other hand, being boring like you are, have you ever considered training for an accountant? For an accountant or to be an accountant? Which, to be an accountant? What sort of grammatical rubbish? That's a non-punctuated, poor quality email there. Anyway, Joe is in Ealing. Hello.
Shouldn't it be training for accountancy?
Yes, it should, Joe. You're absolutely right. That's exactly what it should be. Training to be an accountant or training for accountancy as a profession.
Yeah.
That, Joe, is the level of abuse I get via text and email.
Take no notice.
I will take no notice, believe you me. How are you today, anyway?
Fine, yeah.
Good. Nice to hear from you. What do you do, Joe?
I'm a pharmaceutical representative.
A pharmaceutical representative?
Yeah.
Oh, and what particular pharmaceuticals are you representing today?
Vaccines.
What?
Vaccine.
Vaccine? So I thought it said Dachshund. I thought, that's a dog, not a pharmaceutical. No. What sort of vaccines?
I don't want to say it, someone might recognise me.
Someone might recognise you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they'll probably recognise you. If they know you, Joe, they know your name now, don't they? And they probably, and they know your voice. So you might as well just tell us what vaccines.
Travel vaccines.
Yes. For long distance travel, sort of, yes. You know, for polio. That's not a vaccine anymore, is it? Is that still a sugar thing?
No, it's not a sugar thing. It's a combined vaccine. That's a paediatric vaccine.
Oh, right. Yes. Oh, no, polio's a sachet, isn't it? You pour it in a... Now?
No, it's part of a vaccine now, but I don't do that anyway.
Which travel ones do you do? Do you do the ones you have to travel on the tube?
Which I do hepatitis A.
That's a tube one, yeah. And Ebola.
Typhoid.
Yeah.
Malaria.
Yeah. That's to travel on the Northern Line, malaria, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Jubilee Line, that's just bird flu. Because it goes to Canary Wharf. Is that true?
Oh, very good.
Yeah, quite quick, me.
Yeah, good, aren't you?
Yeah. No, not really. No, I'm not. No. What you don't know is that I've rehearsed this call with you.
Well, even though you didn't know what I did.
That's right. Somehow that's what I've done. Don't really know how. Joe, I know we're going to talk to you about being smacked at school.
Yeah, I've never got over it.
But can you hang fire just while we think, and then I will talk to you about that. Is that right?
Yeah.
Don't go away, Joe, because I love you. LBC 97.3. Apparently. John Holmes. Yes, correct. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hello, sorry about that. You know, obviously we had to, contractually do the things.
Yeah.
News, travel, etc. Now then, before I do talk about being smacked at school, can you answer me this question?
Yeah.
When you meet someone for the first time, like we just have, in fact, as we mentioned, and you go, do you, as a woman, I'm guessing you are one of her.
Yeah.
Good. Do
well
you...
Done.
Sorry?
Well done.
That's all right, yeah. Have you always been one, or have you had a change?
Fully fledged.
Fair enough. Now, do you expect someone, a man, say, doesn't have to be there, a stranger, to, when they meet you, or you're introduced to them the first time, do you go in for a cheek kiss, a polite social cheek kiss, Jo?
Well, only if they do.
That's where it all goes wrong, though, Jo, isn't it?
Really, really hard.
So who goes first?
Well, if the man goes first, then I'll follow.
Yeah, but you see, what if he doesn't? Will you not bother?
No, I'd just shake his hand or whatever.
So you would try and time it, so if he held his hand out, you'd always go for the hand. But you'd sort of hold back and see what he did. What if, though, we'd just met, as we have, and what's... I'm going to pretend this microphone here, right, is your head, right? And we've just met, so chat. Oh, John, Have you met Jo? She's from Ealing. She sells pharmaceutical products. Oh, that's very interesting, Jo. And, Jo, I'd like to introduce you to John. He talks rubbish on the radio. Oh, that's very nice. Oh, nice to meet you. Hello.
No, I wouldn't kiss you then. No.
So I've gone for a full-on one there.
That was a little bit more than a cheek kiss, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I looked at you, thought you were up for it. Thought, well, Jo, she sells pharmaceutical products. She's very, very, very sophisticated. I quite fancy her. I'll go for the cheek kiss, but then while she's expecting that, I'll double bluff her, slip the tongue in.
Well, in my cheek.
In your cheek, yeah. Through that convenient...
Tongue in cheek.
Hey! So you're good as well. Get it into your... Because I thought... Anyway, so... So it's confusing, isn't it? That's my point. It's a confusing... I don't know what to do. Chris got caught out with it last night. We don't know what to do, Jo.
In that situation, I'd probably just shake hands.
Yeah, but it's... If you go to shake someone's hand and then they go for the kiss... I've done it where I've met someone... you know, introduced, and I've put my hand out to shake it. They've taken my hand and then pulled me towards them for a kiss.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about that. Well.
Well, it's a bit, you know, if you're not expecting it, you can always be pulled off balance. You could fall into their bosoms, Jo. That'd be embarrassing, even more embarrassing for everyone.
I would, if they were coming into the room and I met them, they're coming towards me physically, I'd be more inclined to kiss them.
Right.
If I've met them.
But not a stranger?
No.
Because you don't know where they've been, do you, as well?
But if somebody introduced me to someone, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. It's interesting. See, that's what I'm interested in that stuff as well. 0870 9090973. What's the protocol? If you're a woman, do you like the social kiss? Because it was Chris, Jo, who got ambushed, if you like, by the girl he met last night. He was just going to shake her hand like a polite gentleman. She then went for the kiss. Is that right, Chris?
Yes, it was.
She went for you.
It is awkward, though, yeah.
I mean, you are a hunk of burning hot love, Chris, so that might be why.
What can I say?
Yeah. Well,
is there a photo of Chris on the website?
No, they don't allow that.
I'd quite like to see one.
Would you like to see what Chris looks like?
Well, yeah, because I like to be able to see what people look like. Because before I knew what...
I don't think there's a photo of me on the website either.
No, you don't count, really, do you?
Not really, no. To be honest, it doesn't really matter, does it? No one's even spelling my name right, let alone knowing what I look like, Jo, to be honest.
I always thought that Ian Lee was like a big, fat, middle-aged man before I saw his photo.
Oh, he is. He wears a... He is. But
yeah,
he has...
Photo of him 20 years ago, then.
He wears a thin suit. You know, fat suits? Like Nick Ferrari wears. Yeah. Ian has a thin suit.
Right.
And it's like
Nick
a...
Ferrari's actually really thin.
It's like a... Oh, yeah. Absolutely rake thin. Nick Ferrari's rake thin. But Ian is a big, fat heifer and wears a big, thin suit, which is like a corset. Just squashes him in, and all of the fat in Ian goes up his body and comes out in his ears, and that's why he's got sticky out ears.
Ah.
See?
Yes.
That's how it works, Jo.
I see.
Now, you were smacked at school.
Yeah.
Go on, then. Tell us, what did you do? Did you go to kiss a teacher?
Didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. That's why I'm so insulted, and I've never forgotten it. I was about 8, and the teacher's obviously, I don't know, stressed.
Yep.
TMT, I don't know, but yep. she basically said, right, that's it, I've had enough, and she just made us all line up, and then just gave us a smack, one after the other, on the bum.
On the bum?
On the bum.
See, what's the rules there? Is it... See,
well, I don't think it was legal, to be honest, I don't think you're allowed to.
When was this?
About 20 years ago.
Well, it probably was legal then, wasn't it?
No, I don't think so.
No? When did they outlaw the cane and corporal punishment in schools? Do you know? I don't know.
It was like the 70s.
Was it? Someone might know. Again, 0870 9090973. When did they outlaw corporal punishment in schools?
I thought it was really unfair because I hadn't done anything wrong. That was a good girl.
Were you a good girl, though?
Yes.
Were you secretly a bit, you know, did you just get away with... Because I'd never really got punished, Jo, at school, but I used to just get away with stuff, just because I used to run away.
Yeah, my brother was like that. No, I was a goody two-shoes.
I once turned off. You know those crossing lights that warn you that there's a lollipop lady coming up round the corner?
Yeah.
And they, like, flash orange. There's two of them.
Belisha thing.
Well, not quite a Belisha thing. It's like a more of a... It's like a sort of two-lensed traffic light.
Oh, yeah.
And they just flash alternate orange. It's just orange. And they warn you. And what that's there for is to warn you that there's a lollipop lady or man coming up around the corner. Right? And, or dwarf. I'm not being, you know, racist. So, And I'm quite, you know, so I got on, a friend lifted me up, essentially, and there's a button underneath those that can turn them on and off. And I got lifted up on the shoulder, and I turned that on my way home from school, crossed with the lollipop lady, walked down the road a bit, pressed the button, turned it off.
That's quite dangerous.
Yeah, you see, now I know that, but I was, you know, about 11, so I, you know, thought it was an amusing prank. Of course it was an amusing prank, the lollipop lady was killed outright. No, she wasn't, I'm just kidding. She wasn't, but what I hadn't reckoned upon was that the lollipop lady, I got grassed up by a parent who saw me do it, someone, you know, someone else's parent walking them home from school, and B, the lollipop lady was my nana's next-door neighbour.
No.
So I got into terrible trouble. And the first my parents heard about it was later that evening when the police turned up at our house, having been round and spoken to the lollipop lady, who said, well, actually, do you know what? His grandma, his nana lives next door to me, said the lollipop lady. He tried to have me killed, the little git. And then I got hauled up to the headmistress at school. I got a big telling off from the police. I remember having to sit in an armchair in my parents' house, which felt like a very big armchair to tiny me at 11, and while the police gave me a massive lecture on road safety. And do you know what? I've never done it since.
I bet you haven't.
Never done... Well, only once. But, you know, that's because the lollipop man deserved that for... touching. It's a lesson you learn. And the police didn't, I didn't get corporal punished, but I got a telling off from the police and the headmistress, and it instilled a fear of it into me, and I've behaved in that sense.
I'm saying that, I was very naughty at school once.
You just said you were behaving at school.
I did, used to normally, but I did tell someone to F off once.
Don't say that.
I didn't.
Okay. Well, that's not that naughty, that's what kids say.
No, it's not me, I was a good girl.
Oh, they must have done something pretty horrible to you.
I was doing roly-polies over a wooden post, and they wanted the wooden post. I wouldn't let them have it.
What's a roly-poly over a wooden post?
You know, a roly-poly.
What, a somersault?
Yeah, that sort of thing. Oh. Sort of thing you do in the playground.
I see. Do you not think that if you carried on doing that, that might help you sell more pharmaceutical supplies?
Roly-polies in the...
Yeah, if you said, if you buy your... Because you sell... you buy my pharmaceutical supplies, I will roly-poly over this malaria vaccine. If you buy it, I will do a somersault for you over the box of malaria vaccine.
Depends how male the people are that are buying it, I suppose.
Well, that's right. You could wear, just wear some kinky gear. And then you could go in for the little... When you meet a client, you could go in for the little kiss.
Yeah.
Not the shake hand, go in for a kiss and say, if you buy this vaccine that I've got here for diphtheria... then I will do for you a roly-poly over it. Just a suggestion, Joe, trying to help your sales, that's all.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
I better go now anyway.
But please do, yeah. It was a pleasure talking to you there. Well, up until... for a minute it was, then it got boring. But it doesn't matter. 0870 9090973. What's the rules on kissing? What are the rules on kissing people when you meet them for the first time? Do you go in to kiss their cheek, shake their hand? It gets a bit awkward. What happens? What are the rules? If you're a girl, perhaps you know, perhaps you've been caught out as a bloke by it. It's all a bit difficult. Chris was, I've been, everyone probably has. Also, punishment. We've got other punishments have been coming in here. Let me just have a look at this one. I'm just reading this one to myself. That's very interesting, yeah. So, Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, by the way. H-O-L-M-E-S at lbc.co.uk. Don't forget the Mystery Voice competition. We're also playing Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio in the next half an hour. Holmes. Yes, I am. John, is it a coincidence that... John spelt wrong. J-O-N, in case you're wondering. I know you don't really care, but anyway. John, is it by coincidence that all the listeners that complain about you do so by text or email and never phone in? I think they're cowards. That's what it says here. By text. P.S. Get Ian Lee back. You're rubbish. I'm only joking. You can text us, 84850, email holmes at lbc.uk. Call us, 0870 90 90 973. I'm John Holmes, sitting free in the LBC. Nice night.
John Holmes
is me. John, is the mystery celebrity today Fanny Craddock? Is it Fanny Craddock? That's Dan from Benfleet. Don't forget to get the mystery celebrity. What you have to do, very, very simply. Well, let's have a quick listen to it. What you have to do there, that's seven songs played back to back. All you have to do is identify each song, take the first letter of each one, transpose those letters through 180 degrees, multiply that by the title of the second song in here. That will give you the name of a well-known celebrity. What is the celebrity's name? John, is it Marty McFly? That's from Chris in Croydon. I'm afraid it's not, Chris. And it's a shame you got it wrong, because there's a very good prize up for grabs. As I say, it's a luxury diving holiday on LBC's Gary King. We fly you and a partner to Gary King while you spend 2 weeks diving on what experts call the best LBC presenter to dive on in the world, all accommodation included. You are allowed to eat whatever you find on him during your dive. Equipment is provided, including snorkels and spear guns. And after some training, you'll be able to go right down on Gary King to see the amazing tranquility of his reef. It's an excellent, excellent prize. We've got two tickets to go luxury diving on LBC's Gary King. All you have to do is identify the celebrity from this. We're going to do Warhammer 40,000 for the radio in a bit. But first, I'm going to go to the telephone and speak into it. Hello?
Hello, is that John?
It is John. Hello, who's that?
Hello, it's Faribo, Inspiration, my surname. But however, we all miss you're doing a good job.
Sorry, you said all that too fast. Can you say that all again, but slower?
Sorry, you're doing a good job of sitting for lovely Ian, but we all miss him. I'm sure he's coming back.
I got lovely and Ian out of that. Okay, fine, that's fine. It's good.
Regarding the comment, please shake hand or what have you, or kiss on the cheek.
Kiss on the cheek, yeah.
Yes, John, I think it's all common sense, back to common sense. If you know what kind of place or a stage or occasion you are going, perhaps you know the celebrity or not famous people or whatever or wherever it is.
Yes.
So it's better not shake hand, it just say nice to see you, nice to meeting you, simple as that.
Yeah. So not even touch them at all?
No, because it's not necessary. I hope you don't mind, unless it is in too much celebrity things. If you see these people, or in a Western way, a kiss and cuddle is too quick.
You don't have to cuddle them. I mean, you don't have to actually physically.
Yeah.
If you meet someone, you know, it'd probably be a bit inappropriate to sort of, if someone says, oh, have you met... And then I sort of went forward and gave you a massive cuddle,
and
maybe a lick on the ear. That would be inappropriate, wouldn't it? I agree.
It's too much.
Social kiss.
Yeah,
that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah. It depends the person again. Depends if you already got some connection. And second thing, I wish I could do your Mystery 7 song, but it's too much, and I just tuned to radio. I came back, but maybe some other time because I wouldn't know it. But I used to know lots of music.
Do you want to hear it again? I can tell you it's 7 songs. Right, it's 7 songs played over each other. But all you have to do is identify all 7. Have a listen. It's not that. It's quite an easy one, I think, today.
It's very difficult, dear John, but I want to wish you well and thank you very much.
Well, no, thank you very much. No, and I think you've shed no light on the subject whatsoever, so thanks very much. John, I find it really difficult to know which side you should go for when doing the cheek kissing thing, and then, therefore, often I've ended up very nearly nutting the person, and it's very embarrassing. You see, you're right. Thank you very much. That's another problem, isn't it? Because you can. If you go one way during a social kiss and the other person goes the other way, you can actually nut them in the face. Which, you know, has gone out of fashion since Victorian times. That's no longer considered a greeting, nutting people in the face. John, on the text, 84850, John, pigs only lie when they drink blue tack soup. I am orange peel. That's from Tony again. What else do we have here on the text? What's this? John, if you had your own show on LBC... as opposed to just sitting in for people, then you'd get no abuse at all. These mouthy heathens that send text abuse to you are wanting and expecting Mr. Ian Lee. Their lack of acceptance of someone different suggests obsessive behaviour and, perhaps on a more extreme level, autism. I do like your show, but often have an inferior feeling inside when your name is mentioned out loud. Damn those years of sneaking peeks of dodgy videos. I think that's someone referring to the fact that my name, John Holmes, is similar to that of a 1970s porn star, nay, legend, also the same name, but spelt differently. There you go. Keep up the good work, big boy, says Mark on the A2. This is an interesting one. I've no idea who this is even to. Dear Richard... Dear Richard, I have just bought a new DAB radio so that I could listen to Ian Lee, but I've just found out that he's off this week. Instead, I can now listen to you, because you are much funnier than his substitute presenter. Who's Richard? That's Kev. It's from Kev. It's just Kev. Idiot. So, our phone-in competition for today, then. It's a continuation of Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade. Not for the Xbox, not for the PC, not for the PSP, but for the radio. Yesterday, two players got high scores and were all able to put their initials in on level one on this phone-in game. But today, we're going to ramp it up a gear and go to level two. Let me set the scenario for you. You are still a member of the elite US military special ops unit Blood Ravens. It's the 41st century, and your team has been dispatched to the outer lying planet Tartarus to prevent the murderous marauding orcs from destroying the planet. On level two of the game, though, the action is faster, it's tighter, and it's, for some reason, cuter. Your task is to get across the barren alien landscape to the sanctuary of your base camp. On level two, you're up against not just orcs, but also undead zombie robots, household pets, and well-loved characters from classic novels. You have five controls. Those controls are shoot, don't shoot, pick up, use, bang uselessly into wall, or propose marriage. If you want to play, you can call 0870 9090973. The prizes today for this, I've got three state-of-the-arts to give away. Three state-of-the-arts from the good people at Technology. They do us a lot of favours over there. But yesterday we gave away high definitions. Today I've got three state-of-the-arts. Our first contender is Kathleen. Hello.
Hello.
How
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, you?
Where are you calling from?
Old Kent Road.
Okay. What do you do, Kathleen?
I'm a postwoman.
A postwoman?
Yeah.
What time do you finish?
Quarter to 10.
Lazy, Kathleen.
Aye?
Lazy. Most people are only starting work then.
I'm just starting.
What time do you start work?
4:45.
Answer me this, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Have you ever, right, taken all the post in your bag?
No.
Thought, what?
I'm not delivering.
Oh, you don't deliver?
Ah.
Oh, because I was going to say, have you ever taken it in your bag?
No, you get sacked for that.
And put it in a skip.
No, I wouldn't do that.
No. They do though, don't they? Postmen, postwomen.
Yeah, and you can get sacked for
you
that.
Would you get punished?
Yeah, you can get sacked for that.
What's the punishment?
Sack.
Just that? Just the sack? No, you don't get the cane or the slipper?
No, unfortunately.
Do you think, Kathleen, that... Because you read about this all the time, don't you? You read about postmen and postwomen nicking the post.
Yeah.
And chucking it in a skip. Identity theft. Because they're lazy. Right, but, answer me this, Kathleen, do you think a good deterrent for the Postal Service, for Her Majesty's Royal Mail, if you like, would be if they brought back caning for postmen, if they stepped out of line? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that should be all right.
Yeah.
But would it work?
Well, I don't know. What would probably happen is that the postman or postwoman would get called into the head postmistress or master's office...
Yeah.
...to be caned, but on the way...
They might enjoy that.
I think
a lot of them would enjoy it.
I can see here by your voice that you would. But what I'm suggesting is what they might do is put perhaps a jiffy bag down the back of their pants to stop the pain, like, you know, exercise books at school.
That could work and they'll enjoy it even more.
I've got a scam, Kathleen, I might tell you about this. I've got a scam, a post scam.
Have you now?
Yeah, I have. Do you want to hear it?
No.
Oh. won't tell you then. But if anyone else wants to hear my post scam, then, you know, ring me up. 0870 9090973. This will save you money in the post office. I've got a post scam, Kathleen. But you want to play Warhammer, don't you? You'd rather play Warhammer for the prize.
I'm not sure how to play it.
I'm going to explain to you. I've got to go to a quick break thing, but
okay.
When we come back, I'm going to explain how to play again, even though I explained a minute ago.
I know, I did hear, but I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say.
Oh, well, I'll explain all.
Okay.
After this, Kathleen.
Okay, my darling.
LBC 97.3, and I'm not your darling.
John Holmes.
You're right, Ross.
Yeah. Is it Michael Barrymore? Is the mystery celebrity today Michael Barrymore, John? That's from Barry on the M25. Not Barrymore, I don't think. Is the answer Bobby Sands? That's from Ian. No, it's none of those things. You are crap. You make my day miserable. Please bring back Ian Lee. That's from a fan. So, Kathleen, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry to keep you waiting there.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, did any post happen while you were away?
No, I'm just going into work now.
You're going into work now?
Yeah.
Excellent. When you get there?
I'm there. I'm just walking in.
Are you? Oh, yeah. So you're going to play Warhammer, but while you're at work?
Yes, I am.
Brilliant. Can you, are you surrounded, whereabouts are you? Just in a corridor, or are you in where the letters are kept?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
What, pick up a letter, tell us who it's to. Who's it for? First one you pick up, who's it for?
Oh, John, I've got to put my bag down first.
All right. Pick up a letter, who's
it for? Mr. Holmes.
It's not for Mr. Holmes, is it? Come on, who's it for? What does it say?
It says for Mr. Holmes. Like, I'll pick up a packet and I'll tell you.
Go on, who's it? Pick up a packet. What's the name of it? Who's it for?
Mr. Billington.
Mr. Billington?
Yeah.
Okay, open the packet, see what's in it.
Hell no.
Yeah, go on. No one will know.
No!
Come on, I want to know what's in Billington's packet. Come on.
I can't do that.
Come on, Joe. Come on, Kathleen. Touch Billington.
I can't do that.
Oh, touch Mr. Billington's packet. Okay, feel it. Have a guess what's in it.
Eh?
I feel the packet.
No, what? I'm not supposed to feel the packet.
Are you not allowed to feel the packet?
Well, I pick it up and obviously I'm feeling it.
What do you think's in it then? Have a squeeze. What do you think's in it?
I don't know.
Have a guess. You know? Go on.
I know, a pair of pants.
Pair of pants?
Maybe, yeah.
Have you ever, what's the dirtiest thing that's ever come through the post? You must have a sort of, you know, staff room where you go,
food.
Where you swap stuff. Food?
Maybe.
Fish? Oh. I'll tell you what I did once, and I've not done this for a long time, actually, but I once, as a prize in a radio competition, because the radio station I was working for at the time had a promotional ice cream manufacturing machine.
Right.
That you could just go up and, like, you could make your own. There were cones, Kathleen, cones, and you could go up and pour your, you know, put yourself a Mr. Whippy Curly ice cream on it from a machine. Put a flake in it. It was a promotional thing. So, as a prize for that day, I filled jiffy bags full of ice cream, sealed them up with parcel tape, posted them out.
Oh, you did it.
I did.
Oh.
The listeners who won those prizes were very great. Very grateful, but I never knew what happened to the... And if they'd won CDs as well, we just used to put the CDs in first, then top it up with ice cream.
That's terrible.
Yeah. You couldn't do this... couldn't do it in the days of Anthrax, though, probably, could you?
No.
Because of that... There is that... You've got that thing now, haven't you? The rule where... Because ice cream... Terrorists have started to smuggle Anthrax in ice cream, haven't they?
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
And
that's why you're not allowed to post ice cream or Anthrax anymore.
Okay. Oh,
You're not really up on the law, are you?
Yeah, working terrible.
For a post office, you've got to be up on the law, Kathleen. Come on.
I am up on the law.
You're not up on the law. You didn't even know it's now illegal.
Why would you post ice cream in the post?
It's now illegal. You wouldn't.
That.
It's now illegal to post ice cream in the post. It wasn't. It is now.
You wouldn't post ice cream in the post.
How would you transport it then?
You wouldn't post it in the post.
Why?
Because you'll have it in a big refrigerated van. That transports it to where it has to go.
Refrigerated jiffy bag.
You are terrible.
Do you want to play Warhammer 40,000?
Yeah, I'll give it a try.
Okay, right, the rules are these, okay? The rules are these. You are a member, and you do sound like one, of an elite US military special ops unit, Kathleen.
Okay, all right?
And it's the 41st century.
Right.
Your team... has been dispatched to the outer-lying planet Tartarus.
Right.
To prevent the murderous, marauding orcs from destroying that planet.
Yeah.
Your task is to get across the barren alien landscape to the sanctuary of your base camp, Kathleen.
Yeah.
You are up against not only the murderous, marauding orcs, but also you've got to get past the undead zombie robots. There are human allies that could help you.
Right.
There are household pets and several well-known and well-loved characters from classic novels on this planet. You've got five controls, Kathleen, right?
Okay.
You've got shoot, don't shoot,
yeah.
Pick up and use,
right.
Bang uselessly into wall,
yeah.
Or propose marriage.
Right.
Okay? When the game begins, I'm going to call out to you what is popping up in front of you on the barren alien landscape. You have to use one of those controls to decide what to do, depending on what pops up in front of you.
Right.
Are you ready to play?
Yeah.
I don't know what music is going to be, Kathleen, today. It's always largely inappropriate. But let's see what music we've got to play. Let's play Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade for the radio. Doesn't say battle-scarred alien landscape to me. Does it to you, Kathleen?
No.
It's just so amateurish around here. Right, it's all we've got to go with, so we will go with it. I'm going to call out what's popping up in front of you, and you have to use one of those five controls to tell me what you're going to do. You ready, Kathleen? It moves quite fast.
Yeah, okay.
Here we go. Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Undead zombie robot.
Shoot.
Undead zombie robot.
Shoot.
Undead zombie robot.
Shoot.
Health cube.
Pick up.
Human ally.
Shoot.
Human ally.
Pick up.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Ammo.
Shoot.
Ammo. What? No, you picked that up. Ammo.
Pick up.
Ammo.
Pick up.
Ammo.
Pick up.
Undead zombie robot.
Pick up.
Undead killer zombie robot.
Oh, shoot.
Puppy.
Ah, pick up.
Puppy with big eyes.
Pick up.
Puppy with no eyes.
Ah, pick up.
Puppy, but with undead killer robots where its eyes should be.
Oh. Pick up.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc. Orc.
Shoot.
Undead killer orc.
Shoot.
Kitten.
Pick up.
Mouse.
Pick up.
Undead killer robot, but with mice instead of eyes.
Shoot.
Ammo.
Shoot.
Health cube.
Pick up.
The character Jane Eyre.
Pick up.
Mrs. Malaprop from Sheridan.
Pick up.
Boo Radley.
Shoot.
Mr. Darcy.
Pick up.
Mr. Darcy holding a kitten.
Pick up.
Mr. Darcy killing a kitten with some ammo.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Newt. Three other newts.
Pick up.
Mr. Darcy hitting an orc with a newt.
Oh, pick up.
Lenny Bennett from ITV's Lucky Ladders.
Oh, shoot.
Game over. I'm going to see how well you did, Kathy. I'm going to add it up, and we're going to come back and talk to you and find out what score you got after this.
So, Boris.
Kathleen.
Hi.
Okay, we need to work out your score. I've got to work out your score. Actually, you did very well on Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio.
You didn't.
You did.
Oh, I can't believe
it. You did very well, and let me tell you, you got 16 out of 20.
Oh, really?
16 out of 20, Kathleen. That's pretty good.
Amazed.
You've got today's high score so far.
Yeah.
So, as with all computer games, you do get to put your initials in.
Okay.
Okay, so, have you got a middle name, Kathleen?
I have, but I don't use it.
No, you don't have to use it. You're just going to put your initials into the score sheet.
Yeah.
Scoreboard, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So, don't tell me now. What I'm going to do, like on a computer game, I'm going to read out the alphabet, go through the alphabet, okay. And then you have to say stop when we get to the right letters three times for each name.
Okay.
Like you're spinning a wheel or something, like on a computer game. You ready?
Okay.
Just say stop when we get to the first letter, the first letter of your first name. You ready?
Yeah.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M.
Hey, stop.
That was N. N.
K.
Oh, well, too late. I stopped on N. Okay, middle name. You ready?
Yeah.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, L, P.
That was L.
It was, I'll give you O. It was O.
Hey!
I'll let you spin back to O. And finally, surname, same thing. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, I. That was I.
No, so, that was F.
Well, you've got, I'm afraid you're in as the high scorer as N O I. N O I are your initials. Noi.
that sounds quite good, actually.
It does, doesn't it? Kathleen. So, congratulations. You're in today's high score.
Thank you.
You could beat him with a chance of winning a state of the art.
I hope so.
Have you got a state of the art?
A state of the art, what, darling?
Oh, I don't know. Let me have a look on the box.
Easy camera.
just a state of the art.
Oh, that's so good.
Have you got one of those?
It could be state of the art brush or something like that.
Oh, hang on. No, it's not a brush. It's got wires on it.
Oh, is it? What is it?
I don't know. This is...
Oh, come on.
It just says state of the art. I've no idea. It's got wires on it.
Okay, then.
Kathleen, thanks for playing. If you don't,
Thank you.
Keep the high score, you will get it. But if anyone else wants to play Warhammer, if you think you can beat Kathleen, 0870 90 90 973. This is LBC 97.3. Good afternoon to you. I'm John Holmes, and I'm sitting in this chair for Ian Lee. Just a late-breaking headline for you this afternoon at just gone 5 o'clock in the news. Of course, Ken Livingstone now off to centre of the earth after his heavily criticised trip to Cuba. The Lord Mayor's office have announced today, just announced it now, that his next official visit will be to the centre of the earth, all at taxpayers' expense. The mayor and up to four aides, that's helpers, not the disease, will climb aboard a specially built drilling machine that will bore down through the earth's crust, through the mantle, to the core, where the mayor hopes to find a lost world of dinosaurs that he can bring back to the surface to provide Londoners with cheap dinosaurs. More on that, of course, in the headlines with Claire at 5:15. Meanwhile, Texts are coming in. Answers to the mystery quiz this afternoon. 84850 is the text if you do want to enter. Prize today is a luxury diving trip on LBC's Gary King. I'll give you details again in a while. But Trevor from Harrow says, is the famous person Gary Newman? Let's have a listen. Don't think it was, no. What you have to do, Trevor, and I think you kind of missed it there, what you have to do, you have to... That clip there, this clip. That's seven songs played at the same time. A clip of seven songs played at the same time. All you have to do is identify all seven of those songs, take the first letter of each, transpose those letters that you end up with through 180 degrees, multiply that by the title of the second song, that will give you the name of today's mystery celebrity. What's the celebrity's name? It's all we want to know. 84850, you can email that to holmes@lbc.co.uk. John, thank you for making me smile this afternoon. It's nice, isn't it? A text that's nice. Normally it's just abuse. Here's a nice one. You've made me smile big time, apparently. I might just have to listen to it all again on the podcast. By the way, you should always kiss the right side of the face first. That's from Katie. Katie, for that, if you were here now, I'd kiss all of you right now for that lovely text. Meanwhile, someone I'm not going to kiss, Stuart, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not bad, actually, yeah. I'm a bit, you know, I'm slightly buoyed up there by Katie's kind text.
Yeah, it's nice of her, isn't it?
Yeah, very nice, yeah. Good. Where are you calling from?
Bromley.
And what do you do?
Work for the council.
How long? 20 years?
No, I've only been there.
Did you take any lip off nobody?
No, I don't know.
Litter off the gutter?
Nah.
Did you put it in a bag? Never think to mutter?
No, I'm not.
Did you pack your lunch in a sunblessed bag? Do the children call you bogey?
Yeah, something like that.
Have you never let on?
No.
But I know what he once told me.
Yeah?
Would you let me know a secret?
Maybe.
About the money in your kitty?
Maybe.
What I'm asking you, Stuart, is are you going to buy a dinghy and are you going to call it Dignity?
I might do, actually.
Okay.
Good idea.
Glad we've established that. What do you do for the council?
All the background stuff, just processing sort of summonses and stuff like that, reminders.
Oh, yeah, summonses? What, council tax?
Yeah, yeah.
Could you rescind mine?
Well, maybe.
You know, if I send you, I don't know, an LBC mug or something,
could you have a pen?
An LBC pen?
Yeah.
I don't know, LBC mug. Could you just take my name off the bottom of the council tax list?
I'll try my hardest.
Could you do that?
Yeah.
Is that easy to do?
Maybe.
We could talk about it afterwards off air.
Yeah, yeah. But
we could probably sort it out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How many summonses have you sent out today?
There's about 2,000 today.
2,000. So that's 2,000 people who are late, who haven't paid their council tax.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot, isn't it?
It is.
Is it a boring job, Stuart, or is it all right?
No, it's all right. It's all right.
What's the best thing about it? What's the most job satisfaction thing about it?
Don't know, really.
Just laughing at poor people who can't afford to live. Is that what you do?
I don't do that. I'm not horrible.
That's good. Go on, what's the best thing?
What's the best thing?
Yeah.
I don't know, really. Mm. The people help, didn't they? The people who you work with.
People?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it, really.
That's done that, then. Right, okay. So, what you phoned up, why?
I was thinking about, kissing. Like, whether you know whether to kiss someone.
The rules of kissing.
Yeah.
Stuart, what are your rules?
Well, I never know what to do.
Good man. See, I don't. Chris doesn't.
And I've got, like, two close friends, like, a male and female.
Yeah.
Who are together. Yeah. And, we've known them for about 2 years. And
together? What, they're conjoined? They're Siamese twins?
Yeah, born like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go up to them and I'll, like, hug the male.
Yeah.
Because he's a close friend.
Yeah.
But I never know what to do with a female. So I normally just offer to shake her hand. But I never know.
It's difficult, isn't it? Art, isn't it difficult, really?
Yeah.
Especially if they're conjoined, because then what do you do? Then
exactly.
Because you can't even...
Like, while you're hugging the male, like, you've got to be careful of the other one's face.
Exactly that. So you've got to kiss one, but you can't... If they're conjoined at the head, you'd have to go... You'd be able to kiss the right side of the one of them, but they're not the right side of the other one, because that's joined to the left side of the other one.
Exactly.
And that becomes a... What you could do is treat the two heads like one head, kiss one side, move across along and kiss the other.
That'd be my
advice if you ever meet Siamese twins on a social occasion.
Okay, thank you.
That's right. So, yeah, I agree with you, though. It's difficult. It's difficult because I never know what to do. I've so many times I've done it.
Yeah.
That I got it wrong. You know, shake hand, kiss. It's just socially awkward.
It is.
Stuart, I want someone to phone up and tell us the rules.
Yeah.
Katie there said you kiss, always go for the right side.
Yeah.
But that's fine. That's all right. I don't mind that. But when?
Exactly.
Do you have to have met them once before? Can you do it first time? Do you do it when you say... Do you not do it when you meet them, but do it when you say goodbye to them later? If it's a stranger? What?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, Stuart.
I don't know. It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah. So have you never discussed it with these friends?
No.
No?
They just laugh at me, really. Because I don't know what to do.
So they don't initiate it?
No.
They just let you flounder?
Yeah. They're using me, aren't they?
They're using you, Stuart. They're not your real friend. They're not friends.
No,
they're not friends of yours. They're laughing at you behind your back.
Definitely.
Silly Siamese twin. They're just laughing at you.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I wouldn't even talk to them again. If I was you, do they live near you?
Fairly close, yeah.
You know what I'd do?
What would you do?
I'd put their council tax up.
Yeah, I might do
just
it.
The two of them. Just get onto the computer system, put up their council tax by about £1,000 a month more than they already pay.
Do you think they'd notice, though?
They wouldn't know, did it?
No, they wouldn't have a clue.
Just for laughing at you about the non-kissing thing.
Yeah.
I've got a text here, actually, while you're there, Stuart, that says something along the lines of... oh, no, that's not a text, that's an email. What does it say? It says... I can't find it now, it's ridiculous. where does it say... Oh, yeah, John, always kiss the left side of the face first.
So that's already...
But Katie says the right, now someone said the left, now I'm even more confused. I don't know the rules, Stuart.
No.
We're going to see if we can figure it out. Stuart, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Good. Weirdo. 0870 90 90 973. This is LBC 97.3.
I go John Holmes.
What? Oh, sorry, me. Right. John, are you... two texts here from Scotty in Brixton. Thanks, Scotty. The first one says, John, spelt wrong again, with an H in it. It hasn't got an H in it, just J-O-N. John, are you 14 inches talk? Then, straight afterwards, no messing around, not even a minute later, John, are you 14 inches tall? Scotty and Brixton. Getting it wrong. Spelling it right. Actually, I've got a bone to pick with you, Chris. Actually, speaking of appalling grammar...
What?
You know, I had to write a blog yesterday for the end of the show.
Copied word for word.
Which you copied word for word. Yeah. Except that's not true, is it? Because I wrote it down in biro for you. And you went upstairs to type it up when I'd gone. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the top of it, you headed it, the whole blog, nudie photos. Right? Because we were talking about nudie photos yesterday.
Yes, we were.
You put an apostrophe in the word photos, which wouldn't have one.
Yes, that
that's what
happened.
You did.
Yes. May have.
You, that's a grammatical error on your part, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's right. What are you going to do about it? Should be punished. The theme of the show today is punishment. You should, technically, have to go and see the boss of LBC, the head of grammar, LBC's head of grammar.
Yeah.
And be punished with either a cane or a slipper, but a slipper with apostrophes drawn onto the bottom, so it prints on your bare back area.
Well, I'm just going to run away. See you later. Bye.
Appalling. John, the rules of snogging are kissing in a social situation are simply to snog the next girl you see. That's the social. So that's Steve's advice in a social situation. That's fair enough. Kim, hello.
Hello.
Would you agree with that as a Steve's advice?
Yeah, why not?
Would you like to just be snogged?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Okay, when was the last time you had a big snog, Kim?
Oh, God. I can't remember.
Oh, was that long ago, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, people shake my hand. They never come to kiss me.
Don't they?
No.
Do the trick. I've had it happen to me. Go to shake someone's hand, they pull you towards them.
Yeah?
When someone next goes to shake your hand in a social situation.
Yeah, but they pull away.
Do they?
You know,
why? Are you repulsive, Kim? What's wrong with you?
Well, I don't know.
What's wrong with you, Kim?
I don't know.
Throw his way back.
It's because they're frightened of me because I want it so much.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you dirty lady. Do you think? Yeah. They know it. Perhaps they know.
Yeah.
Perhaps they can, you know, smell it on you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
How are you, anyway?
I'm fine. Good. How are you?
I'm fine, actually. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Rochester.
Rochester, of course you are. Mm. How is it? How is Rochester? It's dark, I suppose.
It's very dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't see anything.
Are you near the castle?
No.
Are you near the Dickensian
Street? Yeah, I'm near Cooling Castle, yeah, where Jules Holland lives there.
Jules Holland does live there, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah. Is he within walking distance?
Yes.
Why don't you pop round now?
Oh, well, I popped round to his wedding.
Did you?
Last year, yeah.
Were you invited or did you gatecrash?
No, I just stood on the pavement outside and just watched everybody go in.
What, did you walk up to any of them, go to shake their hand, and then slip the tongue in?
No.
That's what you should have done. You should do that. If you go round to Jules... Because how long would it take to get to Jules' house now?
5 minutes.
Right. Why don't you walk round there now?
Mm-hmm.
With the phone.
Right.
Right. Call us back when you're there.
Yeah.
Knock on the door. Right. Get back on the phone. Knock on the door. As he opens the door,
uh-huh.
With the phone in your hand.
Right.
Grab his face.
Yeah.
Snog him.
But supposing he's not home.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Hmm.
What do you think?
No.
Not even for an LBC pencil.
For an LBC what?
Pencil.
Pencil. Mm-hmm. Well, it's tempting.
It's a pencil. It's got LBC written on it.
Yeah.
Not officially. I mean, it's, I've written it there with a biro, to be honest. But I mean, it's still
that is very, very tempting. But it's a bit cold out there.
Yeah. Good point. Actually, let's not bother.
Hmm.
Yeah. What would be your rules, though?
Huh?
What would be your kissing rules?
My kissing rules.
Yeah. If you social in a social situation, would you go for the left or the right, or do you not go for it at all?
You sort of go sideways, don't you, to the right? I go sideways to the right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is that the rule? Is that, though, because we're getting conflicting reports, and Chris and I don't know. Chris can't even know how to use apostrophes, so I don't know why I'm asking him, but he got confused yesterday with,
Yeah, because when you shake hands, you use your right hand.
Yeah.
And you sort of pull to each other and sort of turn to the right, don't you, as much as saying, you're going to kiss me, do it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, or just headbutt him. If you don't like him, headbutt him.
It's good advice, Kim.
Mm.
Tell you what, go around Jules Holland's house.
Yeah, and headbutt him.
Yeah, answer the door, get on the phone, open the door, headbutt him.
Yeah?
Go, yeah, that's what I'd do.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I'll let you know what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Headbutt him in the face, go, how's that for later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Jules. Take that.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, they'd never be on that programme. No. Thanks, Kim.
Okay.
Okay. Johnny Croydon, go on then.
Good morning, Your Majesty.
Thank you.
The word photos...
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say.
It's short for photograph.
I know what you're going to say.
I've just said it.
I know. I knew you were going to say that as well.
I know, because you know that
So you're saying it's a constrictive apostrophe.
I'm saying that the apostrophe represents the letters which have been omitted, viz. The G, R, A, P and H.
You're saying it's a...
Therefore,
constrictive
the agent Chris was the correct.
Well, you say that.
Yes. And as you know, I'm brilliant and I know everything.
Well, now...
He's right.
Yeah, well, I know you do say that.
Well, yes. And Ian agrees with me, so he must be right.
Now I'm looking at the word written down, which I've just done.
The word written down, that's two words. Written and down.
Yeah.
Written is one word and then down is a second word,
not
so...
Not how I write it.
Ah.
Not if you write written down. But now looking at the word photos...
Yes.
I'm wondering whether you're right.
Of course I'm right.
I'm wondering whether you're right. I'm prepared to stick to my guns and say that Chris is an illiterate man.
Oh, well, we know that anyway, but on this occasion he happens to be
Would
right.
you write, John, then, if you had the word, CDs... Which is technically an abbreviation of compact discs. Would you put an apostrophe between the D and the S?
No.
Correct. But it's still a constrictive.
I would.
I know you would, because you haven't got a clue.
Are you saying that you want to constrict Chris in some way?
Everyone wants to do that, don't they?
Well, yes, I mean...
Preferably with tight belts. While he's chained down, and we punish him. Theme of the show, John.
Yes, he only got,
With canes.
6.5 out of 10 for whatever it was.
That was the travel person, that was Alan.
Yes, well Chris can only get 6.5 out of 10 as
but,
well.
But I'm interested, now, you might be right about the word photos, but I don't know that you're...
Of course I'm right, I told you in the first place.
Yeah, I don't necessarily believe that. CDs, though, I know you're right on. You know what annoys me, though, John?
Lots of things annoy you, yes.
Yeah, I know they do, but specifically, when people write the word videos and put an apostrophe on it, that annoys me.
Oh, dear.
Hmm.
What annoys me is when people incorrectly put an apostrophe in the word it's.
That really annoys me.
And Bill Buckley.
Does he annoy you as well?
No, it annoys Bill Buckley as well.
Oh, I thought Bill Buckley annoyed you.
No.
What if you inappropriately put an apostrophe in Bill Buckley? What then?
I suppose depending on which part of Bill Buckley it is we're talking about, it may or may not be annoying.
Hmm. I bet he'd find it annoying. Someone came along and inappropriately put an apostrophe in him.
I would doubt whether he would automatically find it annoying.
No, you're right. I suppose it could be a... What about if it was apostrophe, but it was a whole sentence?
Well, if it was in his elbow, for example.
What if you took that sentence, the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog, which contains all the letters of the alphabet?
No, you have to have jumps, not jumped.
Did I say jumps? Sorry, jumps. Yeah, yes. All right, jumps over the lazy dog.
Yes. Or, right. Pack my box with 5 dozen liquor jugs.
Yeah, that one.
Suffices equally well for the purpose.
Why not? What if you put that sentence, both of them?
Yeah.
In Bill Buckley, then he'd be annoyed.
Well, you could put one sentence in one of his elbows and the other sentence in the other elbow, and it would be equally uncomfortable on both sides.
Yes, it would. How would he operate anything?
Operate? Does he operate in his spare time in between doing the programme?
Did you not know that?
Oh, no.
He's a doctor.
He never told us that.
Bill Buckley's a trained doctor.
Well, gosh.
He doesn't talk about it because he once accidentally killed a man.
Oh, that explains it then.
LBC 97.3. Hello, I'm John Holmes in Frindley.
Just imagine.
So, the topics of conversation this evening are punishment. Have you ever been punished? What have you been punished for? Do policemen still clip you around the ear? Or do they, in this modern day, as we all know, just shoot you 9 times in the head instead of just clipping you around the ear? 08709090973. Also, kissing. What's the social etiquette? Chris got caught out with it. Someone he met yesterday went to shake their hand and they tried to kiss him on the wrong side of it. It all got confusing and then he killed them in the heart with an apostrophe that he'd sharpened and taken with him. Also, you can email us, homes@lbc.co.uk. There's a mystery voice, no, not mystery voice, a mystery song competition. And, of course, we're playing Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War for the radio.
John Holmes.
Yes. Now, Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. We are playing that this afternoon. If you want to play... 08709090973. If you want to play Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio, where there are prizes. The high score at the moment is Kathleen. She put her initials in. She's got the high score at the moment. If you beat her, you win the prize. 08709090973. Also, we're having loads of guesses coming in for the mystery celebrity thing. Let's have a quick listen. This is 7 songs played on top of each other. We need to know... Well, I'll tell you what we need to know. This is what it sounds like. We need to know all 7 of those songs. We've got one coming here. John, we've managed to name 6 out of the 7 tracks. Can you play them one more time so we can get the 7th? Let's hear it. If you can get that. All you have to do for that competition is simply... take the first letter of the titles of those songs. Transpose those letters through 180 degrees, multiply that by the title of the second song. That will give you the name of a celebrity. But what is the celebrity's name? Lots of answers coming in. I can tell you that all of them are wrong so far. Where did I write them down? No, that's not it. Hang on, I've written some down. I can't remember. Just bear with me a second. I'll get it. Oh, where I put it. Just keep putting stuff down, losing it. Here it is. John, is it Roland Rat, the celebrity? Is it Roland Rat? That is from Colin, who's in a car. Let's have another listen. No, I think you've just taken 4 of the songs there, Colin. Is it John? Is it Timmy Mallett? That's from Jenny. John Leslie says Alan. I think it's the West End cast of Chicago. And that's come in from Sean, who's in Canary Wharf. None of those are right, I'm afraid. But if you think you know what it is, the prize today, if you get it correct, is a... Well, it's 2 tickets. 2 tickets for a luxury diving holiday on OBC's Gary King. We fly you and a partner to Gary King, where you'll spend 2 weeks diving on what experts call the best LBC presenter to dive on in the world. All accommodation is included. You're allowed to eat whatever you find on Gary King during your dive. Equipment is provided, including snorkels and spear guns. And after some training, you'll be able to go right down on Gary King to see the amazing tranquility of his reef. You'll see manta rays, angelfish, sharks, leftover quiz questions and more. No stingrays, though, remember. Since the Steve Irwin incident, Gary has had them all culled. So to win this amazing luxury diving holiday for two on LBC's Gary King, all you have to do is identify the mystery celebrity from these seven songs, and then text your answer to 84850 or email homes@lbc.co.uk. Also, we want contestants for Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. I think we'll probably try and squeeze another game of that in before 6 o'clock. There are prizes. I've got some state-of-the-arts to give away for that this afternoon. Up for grabs, Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. Call now, we will get through to play that, because we are going to get one more game of it in before 6. 0870 90 90 973. Meanwhile, on the electric telephone, hello.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. What line are you on?
The LBC line, I think.
What number is it? Do you know?
4.
That's correct. Hello, who are you?
I'm Fab from Victor Heath.
Hello there, huh? And what do you do?
In life, or for work.
You do what?
What do you mean? I don't understand. What, for work?
Yeah, for work.
I'm a computer field service engineer.
A computer service engineer?
Yeah.
Have you serviced computers this day?
I haven't, no.
Day off?
No, I was working. I wasn't servicing computers, I was setting up computers.
You're splitting up computers?
And setting them up too, yeah.
Oh, and setting them up. Okay. Are you on your way home now?
I am, yeah. I'm on the M25.
Oh, whereabouts?
Junction 3.
What's the travel like there?
It's good. And that travel guy?
Yeah.
Alan travel with the dress?
Yeah.
I'd say around 5, 6 out of 10.
5, 6 out of 10, that's kind of what we're getting a lot of, actually, Fab, I have to tell you. So, I think must do better.
Indeed.
What do you think? Anyway, you don't know what to do about being kissed on the cheek?
Yeah. My family from Mauritius.
Yep.
And, they do a lot of kissing on the cheek.
Yeah.
And also a lot of my family from France.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any rules.
They do kissing on the bum in France, though, don't they?
Only on religious ceremonies.
Religious ceremonies. The French do kiss each other on the bum at religious ceremony times. That's,
I can confirm.
That is true. And you can confirm that, because you've got relatives who are French.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But there's no rules about which side you kiss them on. I think it's more, there has to be a submissive and a dominant partner.
Yeah.
In the kissing process.
Because
one person takes the lead and decides which side they wish to be kissed on.
Right.
And it is also male-to-male kissing as well that occurs.
Well, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. And again...
And it's the dominant partner in the kissing process who decides which side he wishes to be, or he/she wishes to be kissed on.
Yeah.
And the submissive partner then...
Has to just go with it.
Basically they go with the flow.
But the French, when they kiss each other on the bum at religious ceremonies...
Yep.
They, the rules dictate there, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you do know about this because of your French relatives. Is it true that they can, if you're French, you can just go for either buttock? It doesn't matter which. In terms of the kiss?
It doesn't, and because you haven't seen, it's not a bare buttock, it is a closed buttock.
Yeah.
And because you haven't obviously seen, you don't know too much about the size or shape
of the buttock,
It doesn't really matter as much
it
as
didn't,
the kissing process.
Fabi, didn't always, there wasn't always the rules that they had to be clothed, though, was it? Because doesn't that come out of, wasn't it in the 16th century when... there was the unfortunate incident at the French court.
Yeah.
With Marie Antoinette and so on. When they went to kiss at the religious ceremony, they went to kiss it on the bare buttock, but actually it went between them, and it was just embarrassing.
Exactly.
And that's when they changed the law, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right. King Louis XIV. Yeah, that's right. And they changed the law after that.
Yeah, basically. And it's just been tradition since then.
Yeah.
But there is, in Mauritius,
yep.
There's no buttock. It was a French colony, but it's not. They didn't have the religious ceremony.
Right. So they don't do the buttock.
No, they don't do the buttock. Not in Mauritius.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just near France.
Yeah. Oh, I think it is. It is definitely in France. I mean, I've come up against it before. It's just again, it's an embarrassing thing if you don't know quite what you're doing. If you go to kiss a French man on the face, and then he just offers you his bum instead, it's just another level of social faux pas, isn't it?
I think it's when I go to France, I have to partake in the kissing process.
Yeah.
But when my French relatives come to England,
yeah,
I just offer a hand.
Fair
not
enough.
To the cheek.
No.
The hand to hand.
No. Not to not smack them around the face or anything. Or in the buttock.
No.
Yeah.
Or even bare or close.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, we're learning more and more as we go along, Fab. So thanks for your call.
It's been a pleasure.
The pleasure was no, it was all yours. You're right. Peter, hello. Yeah.
Hello, mate. You all right,
I'm
John?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very good.
Good, good. Do you have rules of kissing?
Yeah, I do, actually. Obviously, if the person that you're kissing or going to meet is pleasant, then you kiss them on the right-hand cheek and
yep.
give them a cuddle.
Yeah.
If they're ugly, you yep. shake the hand. And if they're really pretty, you give them a kiss on each cheek and then pop your tongue in.
Right. See, now, that does make a lot of sense, Peter, actually. So I think, then, that you could tell about yourself what people thought of you. Depending on what you get. Now, Chris, obviously, last night, got this person... he went to shake their hand, they went to kiss him. Which means he's an attractive hunk of burning love.
That's it.
Although the girl he did meet was blind. So maybe that's something to do with it. But the... But that might be it. If someone doesn't go to kiss you... So say I meet someone later and they go to shake my hand. Then, obviously, they think I'm ugly.
You're minging, yeah.
I'm a minging one. Yep. Who's that there?
That's my little daughter. She's 3 years old, Daisy.
Do you want to put her on the phone?
Hang on.
Hello.
This is Summer. This is my older daughter.
Hello. Okay.
Hello, Summer. How are you?
Fine.
Good. That's a lovely name, Summer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have to... Do you have to change it 4 times a year, though?
Because
it's autumn now, isn't it? So don't you have to be called autumn now?
Sometimes.
And then, in the autumn. And then in winter, would you call yourself winter?
Mm-hmm.
And then spring?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you, Summer, did you say?
Pardon?
How old are you?
9.
You've been at school today?
Mm-hmm.
What have you been doing?
I've done English
yep.
and math.
Yep.
And...
Yeah. You've forgotten.
Have
you forgotten what you learnt?
Yeah.
You know, well, in that case, tomorrow, Summer, they might give you the cane. Might they?
No.
No? Why not? They might. Do you have the cane anymore at your school?
No.
I'm glad to hear it, Summer. Good luck at school tomorrow, Summer.
Thank you.
Okay. LBC 97.3, I'm John Holmes in Free and Lee.
Ask Holmes.
John Holmes.
Yes, I am. John, this is on the texticles. John, to avoid embarrassment, however you decide to greet a lady, simply grab her breasts firmly. She won't even notice your lack of kissing etiquette. That's from Chris in Sevenoaks. Arrestable advice there, Chris, I'd say. LBC. Oh, John, tell Kim... He was on the phone just there, that I'm near Maidstone at the moment, heading towards Rochester. If she wants to meet up for a kiss, then give her my number. That's from Matt. John, is the, what is that? Oh, my God, is this programme for real? You are the most boring, spelt wrong, person on LBC. Thank you for that. That's not... They've spelt boring wrong, Helen, thank you for asking. They spelt boring wrong by putting B-O-R-E-I-N-G. Boring. That's the level. Frankly, if that sort of thick person doesn't like me, Helen, then I don't care, do I? I don't care. I don't want someone who can't simply spell the word boring to like me anyway. So, frankly, water off a duck's back. John, is there any chance you'll be giving away a high definition or a Wi-Fi this week? That's from Paul in Farringdon. I gave away two high definitions yesterday, Paul, I think. Not giving away Wi-Fi. Today, though, I'm giving away a state of the art, and I'm giving that away to the person who gets the high score on Warhammer 40,000 Dark Crew, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade. Thank you, Chris. Chris just brought me some tea. That's nice, isn't it? Can I have that? I've done that. Thanks. Giving away a state-of-the-art to a high score on Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. Kathleen has got the high score at the moment. She's got 16 out of 20. But to play the game, it's Will. Hello.
Hello, John. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad at all. I've always wanted a state-of-the-art. All my friends have got one, and I need one, really.
Well, they're the next big thing, aren't they?
they are definitely the thing to have.
Yeah, that's it.
Especially this summer, yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, not, you know, over... You're a bit late. If you had one during the summer, that would be better, obviously, because you can use it outside, but...
I want to be fashionably late, John.
We're getting into the autumn. That's fine. You know, it's still going to... It'll still be there next summer. But if you win... Only if you win, Will.
Well, I'll do my best.
Do you know... Do we hit listening earlier?
Nope, not at all. Sorry.
Right, don't apologise. That's fine. Neither was I, to be fair. But this is the game Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade, but not for the Xbox or the PC. This is for the radio.
Right, okay.
Okay, Will.
Fantastic. Where's my keypad?
Well, this is how it works. I'm going to tell you, right? You are a member, Will, from Barnes, a member of the elite US military special ops unit, the Blood Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 41st century, and you and your team have been dispatched to the outer-lying planet Tartarus to prevent the murderous marauding orcs from destroying that planet. Okay?
Fantastic.
Your task this afternoon is to get across the barren alien landscape to the sanctuary of your base camp. But here's the twist. You're up against not just those marauding murderous orcs, Will, but also undead zombie robots, human allies, they could help you, household pets, and well-loved characters from classic novels.
Fantastic. Sounds like a night out in Kingston.
You've got five controls. Shoot. Don't shoot. Pick up, use. Bang uselessly into wall. Or propose marriage. Those are your five controls, Will. Do you get that?
Yeah, no worries.
Right. What we're going to do, we're going to start crossing the alien landscape, like in the game. I'm going to call out what pops up in front of you. You've got to decide out of those five controls how to tackle the situation. Are you ready?
Let's go, John. I'm ready.
Helen will have some very inappropriate music for us, no doubt, that doesn't work at all, but that's all she can find. Let's play Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade for the radio. What she's done there, Will, is pick the Iraqi national anthem.
Well, it's my favourite.
As a backdrop. But never mind, let's go with it anyway. Are you ready? And it's quite fast moving. You ready?
Let's go.
There we go. Right. Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Health cube.
Shoot.
You sure? Wouldn't you want to pick that up and use it?
Health. No, I hate them.
Okay. Good call. Human ally.
Don't shoot.
Human ally.
Don't shoot.
Undead zombie robot.
Shoot.
Undead zombie robot.
Shoot.
Undead zombie robot.
Shoot.
Undead zombie robot.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Ammo.
Pick up.
Puppy.
Oh, shoot.
Puppy with big eyes.
Oh, don't shoot.
Puppy with no eyes.
Shoot, put it out of misery.
Poppy. Poppy? Puppy with undead killer robots where its eyes should be.
Probably shoot the eyes.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Undead killer orc.
Propose to marry.
Undead zombie robots with a kitten.
Oh, shoot the kitten.
Jane Eyre from the novel Jane Eyre.
Shoot.
Pip from Great Expectations.
Don't shoot.
Mrs. Malaprop from Sheridan.
Bang uselessly against the wall.
Mr. Darcy.
Shoot.
Mr. Darcy holding a kitten.
Shoot Mr. Darcy, leave the kitten.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Mouse.
Shoot.
Keys that are here from Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell by mistake.
Oh, use.
Ammo.
Use.
Health cube.
Up,
health cube.
Use.
Health cube.
Use.
Human ally.
Use.
Orc.
Shoot.
Newt.
Don't shoot.
Two orcs having a picnic.
Oh, shoot one of them so the other one feels really lonely.
Elizabeth Bennet hitting an orc with a newt.
Shoot the orc and leave the others.
Lenny Bennett from ITV's Lucky Ladders.
Shoot. Five times.
Game over.
Oh, I enjoyed that.
I'm going to add up your score, and we're going to come back, and we'll find out what you got, okay?
Thanks, mate.
Okay. Will there playing Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade for the radio. This is LBC 97.3.
Good afternoon, sir.
John Holmes.
I've worked it out, Will.
I'm waiting here with bated breath.
Worked your score out. You did very well, actually, on Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade for the radio.
Yeah. Did I get more than one?
You got 17 out of 20.
Well, I'm chuffed about that.
That's not bad, is it? That's the high score. That's today's high score.
Well, thanks very much, John. I'll just try.
You get now to put your initials in.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Have you got a middle name?
Yes.
Okay, right. I'm gonna run through the alphabet for each name.
Okay.
And just say stop when we get to your initial, like you're putting it into a computer game, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, here we go first. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. K?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good call. Okay, for your middle name. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. Yeah. I, yeah. And this is for your surname. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U.
Stop.
B, U.
No, T.
T. Oh, sorry, I stopped on you. So that's, well, Will, you've put your initials in, K-I-U. Thanks very much for playing. You are with today's high score. Don't think we're going to get time to play another game of that today, but we will probably have another computer game tomorrow. But congratulations, you will have won a state of the art.
Fantastic. I've always won. That's brilliant.
Oh, he didn't want it that much. He's gone. But if we can phone him out and get his address, we'll get one of these state of the arts in the post to him. LBC, after the news, by the way, at 6 o'clock, we will, of course, again, against my better judgment, be opening up the phone lines with no vetting procedure whatsoever. You will get straight through after 6 o'clock if you phone 0870 90 90 973. It's not my idea, it's just something that has to happen. 0870 90 90 973. You can still text us if you know today's mystery quiz. I think we've still got lots of entries coming in for that. Is it Elton John? No. Is it George Michael? No, it's not. Can we get, very quickly, let's talk to Tony in Enfield. Tony, yeah, hello.
Hi, John, how you doing?
I'm fine, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Good. You know the apostrophes?
Apostrophes, yes.
You must have heard about the breaking news in the Concise Dictionary. They're going to remove them all. Did you know that?
Remove apostrophes from the dictionary?
From the dictionary completely. You must have heard about this.
I haven't yet. It might be in the news at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, they're going to remove them all due to the fact that everybody's illiterate now.
Everybody is illiterate now, that is true.
That is totally true, so they've decided to remove them all.
Yeah, well, to be honest, it's probably the best thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because...
And let's face it, most journalists, they put them in the wrong place and...
You know what annoys me? Greengrocers.
Oh, No. Grocers.
Grocers.
Not greengrocers.
Just grocers.
Just grocers, because what are they? They're gross. Yeah, it wasn't that funny, was
it? No, not really. So, I'm agreeing with you, because I don't like it when people put an apostrophe in the word potatoes.
No, that's wrong.
Videos, they put it in. I'm sounding like Lynn Truss at the moment, but it's just one of those things that just, you know.
And it's.
It's is the worst one. And do you know what? No one gets that right.
No?
Everyone writes it's with an apostrophe. It doesn't have an apostrophe, it's unless
it... also winds me up.
What?
When journalists put they have had.
They have had.
Yeah, it's they had. Not yeah.
They have had.
Doesn't that wind you up? Why have had?
All the issues today, Tony, that's what we're talking.
God, isn't it amazing?
Illiterate people should be caned and beaten with sharpened apostrophes in the eyes. Thanks, Tony, I think. Anyway, after the news, as I go away now. After the news, as I say, we will be opening the phone lines without any vetting whatsoever. That's a stupid idea, but we're going to do it anyway. 0870 90 90 973. I'm John Holmes, sitting in for Ian Lee. And the 6 o'clock news with Claire Miller is next. And with the time coming up to... 0870 90 90 973. The lines are now open. You will get through straight to air without any vetting procedure whatsoever, which is, as I say, against my better judgment, but that's the rules. 0870 90 90 973. Pick up the phone, dial that now, and you will come straight through to air. Yeah, hello.
Beethoven's gone, but his music lives on, and Mozart don't go shopping no more. You'll never meet Liszt or Brahms again, and Elgar doesn't answer the door. Schubert and Chopin used to chuckle and laugh whilst composing a long symphony. But 150 years later, there's very little of them left to see.
They're decomposing composers.
There's nothing much anyone can do. You can still hear Beethoven, but Beethoven cannot hear you.
Go away now. Yeah, I knew that. See? And I'm going to see Spamalot tonight. And that's a Monty Python song that you sang up to ring. That's why that sang up to ring. Sang up to ring. Rang up to sing. Hello, yeah, next.
Trick or treat.
Treat.
No, that's not how it works. I say trick or treat and you give me a treat.
No. You ring up, say trick or treat. I say treat, you give me a treat.
No.
Look, we've had this. We've had this before. Look,
I'm not going around your house and put a kipper under your pillow. So give me a treat.
No, you said trick or treat. I said, oh, a treat, please. You then have to give me a treat, don't you? That's that you asked me if I wanted a trick or a treat. I said treat. Where's my treat? Where's my treat?
Like that.
Why not? It
give
does.
Me my treat.
Give me my treat.
No, you give me mine.
Go away.
No.
Yeah. yes. Hello.
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 Is that LBC?
No, this, you've not phoned LBC. Do you need LBC?
That is LBC. When's Ian back?
Ian who?
Ian the Lee. When's he back? Come on. I need to speak to him urgently.
What about?
It's his agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, about deal, big deal going down.
About what?
In Chinatown.
Yeah.
Big deal going down in Chinatown. When's he back?
I thought he said big dildo.
When's he back?
I was thinking, what's he going to want with that?
Where's he going down?
I don't know. Easy, no, Tiger.
When's he back?
He's back next week.
Is he?
Yeah.
Where is he? Because I'll tell you something. He's chasing big money.
No one knows.
He is chasing big money. Watch his space, because I'll tell you.
Tell me. You're his agent, then, are you?
I am his agent.
All he's doing is staying at home playing online computer poker.
How old is he playing online games? How old is he?
Ian?
He's 33. He's playing on computer games.
He's 42. He's 42.
40.
Who's he been telling he's 33?
I know when he's lying, his lips move.
Go away. Go away now. Our next one on the next idiot. Hello?
Hello there.
Hello there.
The Targ here, or Eltel. Is that John?
Yes.
Is it me? Is Eltel here? How are you doing, John?
Is that supposed to be Terry Wogan?
It is Terry Wogan here.
Yeah, but Terry Wogan would say it more like, all right, so.
That's right.
It's Eltel here.
That's right.
A bit more like that, wouldn't it?
You're trying to steal my thunder.
BBC Radio 2.
Oh, I don't like that. You're trying to do impersonations of important presenters.
Impersonations?
Yes, that's right.
Because you're up at the end, I think.
Oh, Chopper Dandridge.
Radio 2.
That's Radio 2. That's right.
That's better. That's it.
That's more like it.
Well done, Terry. Go away.
You're learning.
What? Thank you. Yes. What?
Hello?
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 Hello there.
I've come to defend the present perfect tense. The man before the news was complaining about journalists using present perfect tense.
Yes, he was, wasn't he?
It's a dying tense. We should bring it back.
You think we should bring it back?
Revive it, absolutely.
What makes you think that?
Because it gets misused. People say, I done it, when they mean, I have done it.
That's right. That's where it is misused. I done it is totally wrong. But he's right to say, isn't he, that they've had. That's okay, isn't it?
They've had, that's absolutely right.
They've had. But he was just saying, people say they have had, so you're saying that's right as well.
That's right, that's present perfect.
So we can use either, can't we?
We can. Present perfect refers to recent past events.
Yeah.
Indeed.
But you can't say they've done, that's just stupid.
They have done it.
They have done it, it's fine.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They've done it, recent past.
Hmm.
I think it needs more use.
Well, are you going to write a book about it?
If I had the time, I would.
What do you do?
I teach English to foreigners.
Well, then, to foreigners?
To foreigners,
oh,
yes.
Is it tempting? Is it tempting to just lie to them about stuff?
No.
Because I would. If I was you, I'd tell them all sorts of stuff. I'd tell them that apostrophes came in the middle of words that, you know, didn't.
No, we want them to speak correctly.
Like, I'd say the word, well, if you're going to write the word acceptable, for instance,
yeah.
I'd say it's A-double-C-E-P, apostrophe table.
No, no, no.
That's what I'd say to foreigners if I was teaching them English.
No, no.
Just for my own amusement.
I only lie if I don't actually know the answer.
What's your name, by the way?
Petra.
Petra. Like the Blue Peter dog?
I'm afraid it is, yes. My parents wanted a puppy.
did they? Well, surely when they conceived you, they must have had a... Unless, of course, they had a threesome with a puppy, they're not going to... You know, your parents wanted a puppy. There's no way that was going to happen, was it?
No, probably not.
So, you know, they should have known that. So they had 9 months to think of a different name for you. Like human's name, not a dog's name, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think I've had a lifetime of jokes like that.
Have you?
Everyone had forgotten about
I know, but it's, you know, you can't, you, there you are, and you tell me your name's Petra. What am I supposed to do? I've never met you before. In fact, I've never met you before, so I'm just going to kiss you on the right side of the cheek.
Thank you very much. You're too old. You're showing your age, if you remember, Petra.
I am, aren't I? That's terrible. I do remember Petra, though. And I remember winning a Blue Peter limerick competition, Petra. This is true.
Oh, really?
I got a Blue Peter badge. I've got a Blue Peter badge from when I wrote a limerick about the new dog that replaced Petra on Blue Peter. I was a tiny child, called Goldie. Do you remember Goldie?
I remember Goldie. But do you remember Daniel, the Blue Peter baby?
The Blue Peter baby?
Do you remember Daniel, the Blue Peter baby?
No, I remember a tortoise.
Well, in the late 60s, there was Daniel, the Blue Peter baby. I even had a book.
I wasn't born then.
Daniel the Blue Peter Baby. And I did write some years ago to inquire after the fate of Daniel the Blue Peter Baby, but they totally blanked my letter, so I'm wondering if he's, you know, in prison or something.
Oh, wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that? I know it's nearly the end of the show today, but tomorrow, Petra, I'm going to put that out and I'm going to see if we can find out if anyone else has heard of or knows what happened to
Daniel the Blue Peter Baby.
That's brilliant. I remember Rags the Blue Peter Pony.
Yes.
Perhaps Rags the Blue Peter Pony ate Daniel the Blue Peter Baby. Blue Peter should have all sorts of stuff. They should have a Blue Peter Lion, a Blue Peter Zombie.
And the time capsule.
A Blue Peter time... Yeah, I remember the time capsule. I can tell you, though, how my poem about Goldie won a Blue Peter badge, despite me talking about Petra in it, and then mentioning Goldie, and then rhyming that with Mouldy. And yet, despite that, for dead Petra, I still won a Blue Peter badge.
Well done to you.
Thank you very much. This is LBC 97.3 0870 9090973.
The last...
0870 9090973. We are putting people straight to air with no vetting. Dear Mr. Hurt is coming on with text. I'm putting text straight to air with no vetting now as well. Mr. Holmes, apostrophe between the E and the S at the end of Holmes. Clever. Can you also ban use of the word absolutely unless when defining limits, not merely indicating agreement? That's signed by some underpants. Mystery quiz, John, is it John Travolta or Rimshack? It's neither. Neither of those things. The mystery quiz, no one's got the right answer again today. Might carry it on tomorrow, actually. Might have to do that. Might roll it over to tomorrow if no one gets it today. On the phone now, hi, hello.
Good evening, John. Here's the weather forecast.
Thank you, Philip.
Weather's here! And you'll hear the latest weather bulletins, traffic advisories, and school closing reports first, 24 hours a day.
If Alan Joyce did the travel like this... That's a 10 out of 10. Alan, if you're listening, why don't you do your travel like this?
The weather for Buffalo and vicinity.
And Claire could do the weather. She could tell us the temperature at Elephant and Castle. Or Victoria by doing it like this.
And cold tomorrow. High 15 to 20.
Was some of that from Claire Miller? From Claire. Claire, if you're listening, that has to be in the news near the LBC Nightly News. Hello, yeah.
To illustrate... Today, you have had several conversations. Today is not finished yet, but those conversations are in the past. Yesterday, you had several conversations.
Yes.
Yesterday is finished. The conversations are finished, so you use the simple past tense, whereas today, you have had several.
Okay, that's very informative, actually.
Just something to help you out there.
Thank you very much.
I really want to defend that present perfect as well, because it is important.
It is important, you're absolutely right, and well defended, and I absolutely agreeing with you. However, you sound American, so I have no idea how you could possibly know anything about grammar.
Well, this is the thing, we surprise you once in a while.
Yeah, you do.
We enjoy your language, we try to speak it, and we do pay attention to some of the details.
And I'm glad you do, and I completely agree with you about the present past stuff. You're right, it can be, you have hit it on the head. You can do that about today, I couldn't do it about yesterday, that's where the line of correctness would be. What do you, where from in America are you from?
Originally New York, but I'm living here in the UK now.
What do you do in the UK here?
Market research.
Oh, okay.
So just calling to say hi. And
yeah.
Enjoy your show on my drive home.
That's very nice. Have you been market researching today?
A little bit of market researching, yeah.
Yeah. What made you move here?
Well, in fact, I've been living in France for the last 12 years, and I'm here on secondment for 2 years.
Well, then you can answer our other question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In France, because we've been talking about what the right etiquette to kiss someone when you meet them.
I'm sorry?
We've been talking about what the right etiquette is in terms of kissing someone when you meet them for the first time, on the cheek or whatever.
Right.
But a guy, called a friend earlier, who's got French relatives, and he reminded me that, of course, in France, the etiquette is to kiss each other on the buttocks. When you first meet someone.
Frankly, I don't agree with that.
No?
12 years in France,
You've never
I saw some of that in the work environment. But,
yeah.
you know, among strangers or family or friends, typically butt kissing is really not accepted.
Okay, but it's all right in the work environment in France.
No, it happens.
It happens.
It's okay, but it does happen.
Okay. Well, thanks for that.
Sure.
Okay.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
You, my man, is Libby Sting! Yeah!
Never put whoever that was through again, if you could not do that. Thanks. Yeah, hello, next caller. Yeah, hello.
Hello? Is that you?
No, this isn't me.
Oh, this is me here.
Do you want him? Do you want him?
If that's you, then it's me.
Well, do you want him?
Yes, I do.
Okay, hang on, I'll get him.
Thank you.
He wants you. Yeah, you. Yeah, here I am.
Okay.
What do you want?
You're not going to get away with it like that.
Get away with what?
You can't just drop something on us like that.
Like what?
And brush it over.
Like what?
We want to hear it.
What?
What do you mean, what?
Who?
Petra?
When?
The Blue Peter Badge?
Yeah.
What's the limerick? We want to hear it.
What's the limerick?
The limerick, yeah.
Well, I can't remember it all now. I'll look it up tomorrow. I'll look it up tomorrow.
Something that's that gained a prize. It's a prize to all of us all because you shared it now. You let the cat out of the bag.
It wasn't a cat. It was a dog. It's Petra. It's not even. They didn't even bury it in a bag, as far as I know. They just did a hole in the Blue Peter garden under the pond.
Oh my goodness!
Under the pond.
But please, we want to hear it.
All right, I'll dig it. I'll try and find it. I'll ring my parents. It's probably in the loft there somewhere. I'll get my dad to go up the loft tonight.
Yep.
To find the blue back in their house. I don't live at home anymore, contrary to what you might think. See if you can find my limerick about Petra that rhymed Goldie, the new Peter dog, with Moldy, which is what Petra was going. And I won a Blue Peter badge for that.
It's legendary. We need to hear it.
Thank you very much. I'll do what I can. If I can't find it, I'll write another one for tomorrow.
Please.
Why don't we do that? If anyone listening now wants to write a Blue Peter limerick based on the death of Petra the Blue Peter dog for tomorrow, we will give a prize. Chris says we can. We'll give a prize to the best limerick about Blue Peter the dead dog. If you're listening, you want to write a limerick for tomorrow, you can text it. You can email it in homes@lbc.co.uk. Text it 84850. Tomorrow, we will give a prize for the best. We'll read them out. Best Blue Peter limerick about Petra the dead dog. And if you get Daniel the Blue Peter baby in there as well, all the better.
And we want to see if it beats yours as well.
And we'll see if it beats mine, that's right.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much for that.
Take care, John.
Okay, cheers, bye. Next, who else? Yes?
Hello, John?
Hello?
Oh, John, may I say you are great asset to Sunrise Radio?
Oh, I know you do phone and tell me that, and I love doing it.
I wanted to ask you a question. Is there any chance you could pump it up?
Annoyingly, what's happened, I would have done that for you, but my jam pump got stolen.
Oh, so you can't pump it up?
I can't pump up the jam. My jam pump got stolen only the other day. I left it outside my house.
I've got to go. There's two children in my shop. Bye.
Right. More than two children. That's not allowed. One child, fine. More than two children at once. Out the door. Next. Hello.
Hello, it's Brigadier Jones, reporting in to Captain Johnson. I went to the zoo earlier today. There was only one animal. It was a shih tzu.
I think you may have phoned the wrong number. Next caller. Yeah, hello.
John, it's Paul from Ladbroke Grove. You very kindly gave me some help with my salad last night.
Yes, I did. Yeah, how was it in the end?
I'd love to give you an update because I had a fantastic night.
Go on.
I felt that the best suggestion was Angelina Jolie, so I did, and realised that that wasn't a good idea. She would be much nicer in my bed, so I put her there.
Yep.
I then went out, and I got Essence of Keith Chegwin.
Essence of Chegwin.
Plus a large chunk of his thigh, and had used the Essence of Chegwin for the salad dressing.
Yeah.
And put the cheggy chunks in my salad, and it was marvellous.
I hope you didn't put too much Essence of Chegwin in, because that is 90% proof, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, you have to boil off a lot of the...
A lot of the alcohol.
Yes, no, it's a bit frightening. But you have to be... If used very carefully, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, no, good advice. Good. I'm glad we made it otherwise, you'd have had a boring salad.
Yeah, and it was a very interesting salad. In fact, I'm going to have some more tonight.
Did you have enough left over?
Yeah. It's great. And I was very happy. And Angelina is still in my bed, but she keeps on asking me to ring Anna Raven to see... if Anna's still doing deals on wheels because she wants more drugs.
Yeah, I think that's potentially libelous. I'm not going to agree with you. Suffice to say, make your own mind up. Next caller, yes?
My wings are like a shield of steel.
Yeah, and your phone call is like one that's over. Next call, please. Yeah.
Yeah, we got John on the line. Hello, we've got the travel news coming up soon. Could you be quick?
Yeah, do you want the travel news?
No,
Do you want the travel news? Okay, well, here we go.
Please get to your point.
I'm just giving you the travel news. Just giving you the travel news. I'm giving you the travel news. You ready?
You're not making sense.
Okay, right. First, we go to the M25 at Leatherhead this afternoon, where there's an overturned emergency service blocking the inside lane. I'm looking at the scene now on the CCTV cameras, and I can see that lorries are in attendance, with some of them trying to turn the emergency service back the right way up. I can't quite see what the emergency service is that's become turned over. I think it's either the Coast Guard or the Church of England, but if we get any update on that, I'm sure you'll hear about it in Alan's Main Travel. That's it for this afternoon. I'm back again 3 till 6.30 tomorrow. I was John Holmes in for Ian Lee. And don't forget, we want your Blue Peter-based limericks for tomorrow. I'll see you at 3 tomorrow after Anna Rayburn's advice. Goodbye. Go away now. I'm Gary Kidd.